Years after Big Picture, Steam Link, Steam Machines, and an advance of the Steam Deck, the Steam app gets a big update that updates the look and functionality of download status. Big Picture started an overhaul 9 years ago. 6 years ago, Steam VR pushed out a little bit further, and we're finally getting closer to a full visual refresh of Steam by default. This is just one change in a sea of gaming news. Now it's time to welcome back your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki, as they bring you 2 weeks of gaming news, starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. Orange Lounge Radio Live, once again, back with you after having last week off with episode number 883 of our show for this September the 12th of 2021. We are back live to talk about video games, gaming culture, and the gamer lifestyle. My name, Rob Roberts, and I'm joined, as always, say hello to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right.
How was your Labor Day? How was a week off from OLR?
Well, I did my usual stream just an hour early.
Mm-hmm.
And by then, a certain Cenobite had been out in the Dead by Daylight universe.
Ah, yes. Pinhead, yes.
Well, the Hell Priest.
Everybody calls him Pinhead, yes.
As his official name is. Other than that, it was Rosh Hashanah started on Monday,
mm-hmm.
and so that is the Jewish New Year. So to all my fellow Jews out there, Lashana Tova, happy New Year, and Yom Kippur starts on Wednesday evening through Thursday evening, and so for anyone observing, have an easy fast, and may you be inscribed in the Book of Life.
All right. Let's see. I'm trying to think what else to ask you about the time away, but I guess holidays and things can keep a person busy. That's for sure.
And I spent a stupid amount of money on Copic markers.
On what?
Copic markers.
What are those?
They are probably the best alcohol ink markers that you can buy.
Uh huh.
They are very expensive, and I went looking for deals anywhere that I could find them, so that I could build up my collection of markers and start drawing again.
Oh, fun. Oh,
which,
yeah.
I've been doing some drawing.
I felt like I saw one of your art things, like Dead by Daylight fan art, basically.
I need either not Twitter. Really. I did one piece of fan art. I did Julie.
Okay, yeah,
like
that's
in
what
one
I saw.
Of those outfits.
That's what I saw.
But I also did my own little avatar for my channel, which I'm really not. I like kind of rushed it out because I finally redeemed the points to be on Hydra's Raft.
Oh, cute.
And it's on my own Twitch channel right now. I have it like as one of just like a little piece on it, but it's sort of like a combination of like me, I guess, with my hair the way it is, mm-hmm. wearing the Meg pig mask and a combination outfit that's kind of like one of the pig outfits and one of the Legion outfits.
Cool.
And that is what I have chosen as my Twitch avatar.
You've been having a very artistic year between that and, as you know, many folks know, you've done a lot of the music that's used here on OLR and on your own mm-hmm. streams and such. So the artiste has come out over this. Well, it's not like it's a new thing, but, you know, I feel like we're seeing it more in this last year or so. So,
well, and I also am working on the guidebook for DerpyCon right now.
Oh, fun.
So I have many irons in the fire and maybe not enough hammers.
All right. well, speaking of fires and hammers, that sounds a lot like Minecraft, and I know that is the jam of the one and only Techmaster Loki.
Yeah.
Hey.
That's been the jam.
Don't sound too enthusiastic now.
Sorry, I skated for 4 hours today, so I'm tired.
Oh, my gosh. Well, first off, let me say happy belated birthday, Loki.
Thank you.
Your birthday
was
yesterday.
Happy birthday.
For those that may not know. So so you got to go skating for your birthday, or was that just a treat for the kids?
No, it's everything's always a treat for the kids.
Did you at least get to have a good meal or something for your birthday?
We got Tahoe Joe's to go, and they were an hour late.
Oh, well, my gosh.
There's only one person working the register. It's not even really a register, I guess, but like, and then she didn't put the whole order in the system because apparently they're web system doesn't talk to their POS system, and so they had to manually put stuff in.
So
there.
It's a POS.
Exactly, and so it was a mess. They were slow and stuff, and then the way they cook their steaks, it's like medium or more well. Mm-hmm. There's never like a medium rare because of the way they cook them in an oven or something. Hmm. And this is certainly on the well side, unfortunately. So
sounds good to me. Yeah. I'm that freak that likes a well done steak.
What's wrong with you?
Where do you want me to start?
So yeah, otherwise it was all right. Yeah, it's fine.
All right. Well, happy birthday. And I was saying this on Twitter, but if you want to show Loki a little love for his birthday, follow him on YouTube. And while you're at it, follow Dark Soccer and I on Twitch. It's not our birthdays, but it will be at some point. So follow us.
I actually am planning on doing a subathon.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah. I actually got a little bit inspired by a couple other friends doing their subathons.
Uh-huh.
And I especially like what Meru did with his.
Uh-huh. I don't know who that is, but I assume a good person. Yeah.
Yeah, which, honestly enough, I'm actually friends on Dead by Daylight with Angina now.
Oh, yeah, because some of those drag queens from Drag Race do streaming, especially during COVID when performances weren't as, you know, prevalent. So.
Well, yeah, but Angina is a total sweetheart.
Oh, yeah.
So actually, it's because of them that I might play Survivor.
Oh, good. Finally. Yay. I'm excited to see how that goes.
Maybe.
I was going to say, are you considering doing cosplay? Because shout out to our mutual buddy, Isaaco, was doing a Resident Evil Village Lady Dimitrescu cosplay. And it was so fabulous. I don't know if he's still going.
He's still going. He's only about halfway through the game.
Oh, gosh.
And he's been saying, Isaaco is not streaming today. It's all Lady D.
Not that I encourage people to switch the channel, but you can open up a new tab and take a look because I thought it was...
Definitely lurk in Isaaco's channel. Isaaco is a sweetheart. I think we should give a shout out. I mean, honestly, though, it's Isaaco pops into my channel sometimes. Just another sweetheart.
He's a sweetheart.
And of course, his roommate, Nick and Prince.
Yeah.
So
lots of great people we've been finding on Twitch through this silly little game. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But at any rate, I kind of am getting a little bit inspired, and I want to do something, I guess, to give back to people who've been with me, you know, helping my channel go, you know? And so I kind of want to do something entertaining for people. It'll probably be on a day that I can actually legit do a marathon. So stay tuned.
All right. Meanwhile, I should mention, since everybody asked, I'm back from Dragon Con. I was
No.
What?
I was at Dragon Con.
Why are you still in Atlanta?
Dragon Con?
Dragon Con was interesting this year. You know, obviously it was COVID and, you know, a lot of people had concerns about that. People didn't want to go because they didn't feel safe, which is fine. Everybody has to make their own decisions. It was a little bit surreal because, and this is a good thing, everybody was masked and people were incorporating into their cosplays and things like that, which was super cute. But you know, again, you know, for being in the middle of Georgia, which, you know, might have a reputation in the South one way or the other about mask usage or mask compliance, the good news is that Dragon Con was very good in that department. I did test for COVID after I got back a couple days after the con to try to give it enough time. I was negative, so I was very thankful about that. Even though it was a weird year, like just for my own like mental health, getting to see people, interact with people, be extroverted and do the panels again, which were well received. And thank you to anybody that showed up. Actually, I will share this with you guys and a shout out. And I'm so sorry, I forgot your name in the moment. But somebody came to one of the panels on the digital media track that I was doing, and he actually came up after the panel and was like, hey, I just wanted to say hi. I've been listening to you guys. I first found you guys in middle school, and I'm thinking, this guy's like got to be in his late 20s. You know, it was an age check. He said, I found you guys in middle school, and just I recently rediscovered you guys, and I just wanted to say thank you. So passing it, and it was funny because we had talked about on this panel that there are a lot of people who will lurk and they don't necessarily interact with the show, and that's fine. We value them too. And he kind of admitted, I'm one of those people, I never have sent an email or joined live or anything like that, but I listen almost every week, and I really appreciate what you guys are doing and that you've kept the show going through COVID and all that. So I was, that was a big hug and the fuel I need to keep going for another 20 years, you know? So it was good. It was good. So I thought I'd share that with you guys that there is love for OLR out there for sure, not just live here on Sunday nights in our chat room. Because we do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VOG Network, VOG Network, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And Mike Deft is in chat poking fun at something I put on Twitch this week saying, excuse me, not Twitch, Twitter, saying Rob isn't in Atlanta. Isn't he replacing Bobby? Okay, so I went to Dragon Con, but I stayed an extra night after Dragon Con because the airport is less fucky on a Tuesday than it is on Labor Day. So I stayed at, you know, Manor Blackwolf for an extra night. And of course, I had to go see his studio and his setup. I'd seen it before, but I guess the computer isn't usually there or anything. So long story short, I took a picture in Bobby Blackwolf's setup, so it looked like I was now hosting the Bobby Blackwolf show, and I made a very tongue-in-cheek tweet that said, Bobby has been replaced on the show, you know, something like that, that wasn't meant to be taken seriously, but you guys want to hear a hilarious punchline? His mom texted him like 3 hours later going, I just read on Twitter that you're leaving your show. What happened? I felt so bad. I was trying to punk people like SSJ 100 Matt and Mike Deft and Tiger Claw, Dark Tetsuya, all the loyals that have been here for so long, all of you. I was trying to punk that crowd. I wasn't trying to punk Bobby's mom. Sorry, Mrs. Blackwolf. Sorry. Anyhow. But yeah, so Dragon Con was great. Thank you. If anybody has discovered the show because of some of my appearances there or what have you, I had a great time, and I'm really hoping to be back next year. Let's hope things go on a positive trend when it comes to COVID, and we can welcome more people back to Dragon Con next year. Fingers and toes crossed. Let's get into our kickoff topic, though. Let's get into some games. And something a lot of people have been talking about from this week, some big news, Loki. I feel like we kind of got the PlayStation E3 event this week.
Pretty much, kinda. Yeah.
It's a little bit late, but that, I mean, COVID fucked everything up. So what is time anymore?
So this was the PlayStation's showcase where they showed off a bunch of new trailers for a bunch of brand new games. Lots and lots of stuff to go over. So starting off, we have, of course, they announced the Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic remake that is coming to PlayStation 5.
Isn't that ironic when the first one was an Xbox exclusive on consoles?
It is, but yeah. It's funny. I mean, they got to have something, so, you know.
Yeah.
So that's a thing that's coming. We've got Spider-Man 2 announced, which looks pretty awesome because that kind of mixes Miles Morales in there as well. And then they also hinted that Venom is going to be in there.
I would like to commend Sony and Insomniac for not making the easy play on two Spider-Mans. On Spider-Man 2, Spider-Mans, you know, Spider-Men. I don't think they would do that. No, I'm thankful they didn't.
Along with Insomniac working on that game as well, we have a brand new game that they announced, which is for Wolverine. So that looks pretty awesome as well, that tease.
Do you want?
Yep. We got a video for God of War Ragnarok. So that looked pretty sweet as well. This game called Project Eve, which is kind of like almost reminded me a little bit of like Nier Automata or
Diet Bayonetta was the vibe I got from that thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a thing that's coming to PlayStation 5 as well. We had a new trailer for Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, which now has guns, so it's even more Borderlands-ish, but it's still different. So that looks interesting.
SSJ100 Matt in chat says, I'm really hyped for that Tiny Tina thing. Going to be the Hexen for Borderlands. You know, I got to say, same. I was interested in it from the first little tease they did at, was it the Game Awards or something a while back? They kind of did that first tease. And I was like, you know, I don't super get into Borderlands. I don't dislike it. I've played a little bit of 1 and 2. But I'm really curious about this one. I think the setting is so much more interesting to me. So I got to check it out.
We have the announcement that the Uncharted Legacy of Thieves collection is coming to PC as well as PlayStation 5. Which I think was kind of hinted at before. We got a trailer for a game called Forspoken, which was kind of that
Project Avia.
It was it was the game that they were kind of showing like the tech demo stuff for PlayStation 5 with. So that's
it was way different now, though, but like in a good way. Like it really, like you can see the progress made in that game. That is definitely something that's on my radar. That game looked incredible. Have you seen anything with that Darksucker, that Project Athia?
Nope.
Or I'm sorry, now it's called Forspoken. I can't want to call it its old name. Look it up when you can. It looks really awesome. Take a look at the trailer. It's cool.
Okay.
Yeah, they have like a limited PlayStation 5 exclusive with that as well.
Mm-hmm.
The Alan Wake remaster.
Yeah.
Which was kind of hinted to be coming.
I'm so excited.
I hope that the baby thing is less annoying.
I think the baby thing is still there, but they do have all of the licensed music is all coming back, and that made me so happy. The only thing that's not coming back is the awkward sponsorships from like Energizer and Verizon. That stuff's not in there now.
Do you know when Dan was playing through that, the whole baby thing, I would just leave the house.
Yeah.
I could not stand it.
Sadly, they're not going to change the plot or anything like that.
Well, no, I just mean that they should do something different or have an option for something different, because that sound is just really, really terrible.
Well, with it coming to PC, that's going to mean mods. So where the Remedy games may not deliver, modders might. So because I bet you're not the only one annoyed by that. So something
they'll just change.
What if they mod it to be the Nelson laugh?
They'll change it to was it
Randy Macho Man Savage like they did in Skyrim? That's what they'll change it
shouting,
to.
Shouting Jason instead.
Yes, all these great ideas. Yes.
Ghostwire Tokyo looks crazy. So they have a new trailer for that. Mm-hmm. That's been delayed to next year, but
it looked good.
Just off the wall crazy. Rockstar Games has done the unimaginable. The bold, brand new IP, Grand Theft Auto 5, is coming to PlayStation 5. Well, actually delayed to March 2022. With so many changes to it, like
so innovative, so brave.
It's so innovative. It's
so risky.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you see my sassy tweet on that? Is that I hope that there's a collaboration between Grand Theft Auto 5 and Skyrim in the near future so that they can release those fucking games again.
You know, the thing though, like with the 5, like all the, like even the stuff that was in the trailer, like all their like kind of bullet points of like what's different are not, they've been in the game forever. Like when they're talking about like instantly switch between characters, that's been there since like PlayStation 3.
But
like,
it's instant because of the fast instant-er. Drive. It's more no, instant-y. It's,
but you can do that now on PC with an SSD.
Instant hot coffee. Oh, wait.
It's
not
instant-er,
that game.
You know, so they have that. Or like explosive action. There were explosions in all the other games. I don't understand
don't try to tell me explosions are new to Grand Theft Auto.
They are not new to Grand Theft Auto. Like, more is it explosionier? I mean, I don't understand. And then of course Grand Theft Auto Online, not to forget that. I mean, they certainly won't want to like shove that down your throat or anything. So that's coming. We had a new trailer for Guardians of the Galaxy, which looked okay. A thing called Kid Amnesia, or was it Kid Amnesia?
Oh, the Radiohead thing.
Yeah,
that was
interesting.
That took me back.
Radiohead?
Yeah, there's like a Radiohead.
Heck yeah.
The album, like Kid A, they're turning into some digital experience. It was very vague.
I'm down. I don't even care. I'm down.
I'll check it out. I like Radiohead was a big thing in like college for me. Like that album, The Bends, that got me through a lot in college. But
The Bends, OK Computer.
Yeah. Oh, OK Computer.
And Pablo,
so
like The Bends, OK Computer and Pablo Honey were like my rotation.
Yeah. This is definitely made for 40 somethings, but I'm into it.
They showed off our announced
I feel like it's the Super Nintendo and they just released a Led Zeppelin game, like, or a Pink Floyd game. That's,
yeah,
that's what I feel. Or this is.
To actually a little bit more accurate, might be sort of like an ELO game. It's Xanadu the game.
Sorry, Logie.
Sorry. Grand Theft Auto, or not Grand Theft Auto, Gran Turismo 7 has a release date now coming in March 4th, 2022. Yep, it's Gran Turismo. I mean, I'm less excited about that than I am with, like, Forza Horizon 5, so I don't know. Bloodhunt got a new trailer that's coming to PlayStation 5 as well. There's this game called Chia. I don't know how you pronounce it. That looked pretty awesome. It's like a kind of a cartoony adventure game. And then I guess Rainbow Six is finally jumping. Well, not finally. Jumping the shark again with Rainbow Six Extraction, which is basically your fire team going against aliens now. So there's aliens in Rainbow Six. That's coming out in January.
All right.
Exciting. So yeah, that's pretty much it. Lots of stuff. I mean, very packed.
Yeah, it was a lot of stuff. Nothing that made me go, oh, I got to go get a PlayStation 5 today. Which, by the way, I'm going to do
which
a quick...
You can't.
Yeah, well, yeah, I can't. And I want to do a quick tangent real quick because some very important news broke while we were out for 2 weeks. And I need to update you guys on the situation because it is going to affect my gaming weeks for some time to come. I don't know if y'all heard, but my favorite band of all time is releasing a new album.
It's out. They've released songs already.
Yes, the first two singles are out.
And it sounds like the 70s.
Which is funny because the B-side, and we're talking about ABBA, the B-side sounds more like old school ABBA. The Don't Let Me Down sounds more like old school ABBA than the other one. Because the other one sounded like grandma singing me a bedtime song. But I mean that in the best... No, but I mean that in the best possible way. Like, it was so fucking adorable. Like, I just... like
I know what you mean.
So here's the
but
thing.
But I like the B-side better.
So, yeah, the B-side was great. So they're doing this whole thing with the ABBA thing that they're going to do like a Vegas-style show, but in London, and they're doing holograms and all this stuff, right? So it's going to be hologram ABBA at this thing that's actually in the Olympic Park in London. What Jamie, Loki, you guys may not know yet, while I was at Dragon Con, a friend – oh, no, I posted this on Facebook, so you probably did see. Our friend Melody bought me tickets to go see the ABBA show on my 44th birthday in London.
What?
So Alan and I are going to go, and I talked to Alan about it, and we decided we will scale some, even though we have some big finance stuff on the horizon, which I haven't really talked about on the show, but I will soon. I have
the thing.
The thing. We thought, you know what, between some raises at work, the fact that we've been saving money pretty well, London's going to happen next year. So for any of our listeners overseas, I need to hear from people in London because I'm like trying to look at like where should the hotel be, which I don't fucking know what I'm doing. So I would love to hear from our audience over there on any tips. But that is so late June next year is when my birthday's June 26th, which is funny because that means the 20th anniversary of this program. I'm going to try to schedule it so it's right before I leave. So that way it doesn't interfere with things too much. So, yeah. But anyway, I say that because, and yes, this relates to gaming. One of the things I had to say was, okay, I'm not going to get a PlayStation 5 this year. That'll help roll the money into, you know, those expensive plane tickets to London. So, but I'm really excited. You know, and as much as I joke about it's for ABBA, and don't get me wrong, it is for ABBA. It's fucking time for us to go across the Atlantic. Like, neither of us have ever done it. We've never been on a big trip like that. If
you could see our other friend Rob,
I would love to see our other friend Rob. In fact, that's one of the people I hope to hear from. But yeah, and folks over there. But it's one of those things. If COVID has taught us anything, it's like we need to just fucking do it. So there you go. It's gonna happen. All right. Let's see. Yeah, I'm looking at comments in chat. Thank you for the positive affirmations there in chat. So, and SJ100 Matt, no, this isn't Rob. That's an emailer, is Rob, who I think lives in the Midwest. I want to say Ohio, but with a giant question mark. Sorry, Rob. But this is Rob. What's his online name? I know his real last name, but I don't want to shout it on air.
It has to do with his last name.
Oh, okay, then I'm not going to say it, but there's overseas Rob is different.
Yeah.
So, okay. All right. Anyway, so I'm sorry. Where did we leave off in the PlayStation showcase before Rob went on an ABBA tangent that was very important?
We got everything.
Oh, oop. So, Dark Chakra, you said you saw some stuff in there that looked cool, like the Wolverine thing?
Yeah, pretty much the Wolverine thing and the Radiohead thing.
Yeah. There's a lot of good stuff in there. I'll be sad to probably miss Forspoken when it releases, but I look forward to checking it out. I'll probably finally get, like, after London next year, I'll finally get the PlayStation 5, I'd say, by next holiday. Because if there's any truth to this Final Fantasy thing also happening next summer, although I don't really believe it, I obviously have to get a PlayStation 5 for next summer. So, by the way, also one of the things I've agreed to waive to make London happen is that the Tron machine I'm going to forego if it's above a certain amount, which I think it probably will be. So we'll see. Anyway, all right. Enough about the PlayStation Showcase. I hope y'all saw some great games and some things to get excited about. Let's talk about our gaming weeks and the types of video games we've been playing this week. Dark Sakura, we'll start with you. How was your gaming week?
It was Dead by Daylight. Lots of Dead by Daylight. I also picked up a game. Hold on, let me open my Steam. I picked up Slay the Spire.
Oh, yeah, I see that get streamed a lot.
Yeah, I was watching Isaac O play it, and it actually looked like a lot of fun, and I figured it's time for something new. Mm-hmm. And I've also picked up a couple of other games on Steam just in the interim. I actually won a $10 Steam card.
Woo!
In another chat, and so I redeemed a couple of little games. So I just am trying to pull up my Steam, which is now like taking 5 years to connect so I can remember what the heck I bought.
While that pulls up, I was going to ask you quickly about your thoughts on Pinhead and Dead by Daylight. Like, do you like Pinhead as the new killer? Or, you know, Hell Priest,
I haven't played him yet.
Oh, okay.
I haven't played him yet. Or I guess they're referring to him as the Cenobite.
Yeah.
You know?
We all know
in game.
Who he is. Yeah.
Yeah. So at any rate, I haven't played him yet.
I like him.
I have seen him in the PTB, which is the playtest build for those who don't know. I have also seen him since PTB. And here are my thoughts. I believe that they've done a lot to balance him from the PTB. And in the PTB, he was glitchy as fuck. I'm just saying he was glitchy. I have some fun clips saved from other people's streams. Like his Mori is great and very faithful to the films, and it actually looks a lot better now. And again, for those who don't know, a killer can get an item, an offering called the Memento Mori, that they can basically just kill somebody with without sacrificing them. So, but anyway, it's very, very faithful. But the thing that I do not like is that the voices are gone, because it used to be, and that, there's something about that, by the way, at least this is what I heard. But in the PTB, there's a mechanic in there where you solve the lament configuration. I don't know if anyone has seen the movie.
It's lifted from the movies. We can just leave it at that. Yeah.
Yeah. But at any rate, he goes, you know, when someone solves the box, then he says, "You've opened the box and I came," you know, line straight from the movie. And there were some other lines that were there, and those got removed because apparently the lines were causing some sort of glitching.
Silly.
Like, I'm wondering if it's maybe because of the code that runs.
Everything that's broken in Dead by Daylight is because of their spaghetti code that has been more and more pastified over the last 5 years of the game's existence. It's absolutely that.
Yeah. But at any rate, there are, they released also the cosmetics for him with the live build. And from what I understand, by the way, playing him is sort of like a combination of playing Nurse and Hag, kinda.
Mm-hmm, I see.
At least
that
was my impression. Because you can use twins, Nurse and Twins, which I suck at Nurse and I hate Twins. because you can actually use the box to cast a chain that you follow like it's its own player, right?
Yeah.
At any rate, so going back to it, there's been a few little glitchy things, but the mechanics seem to be a lot better ironed out. And then Gideon, the game level, the Gideon's meat plant from Saw,
mm-hmm.
and Dead Dog Saloon, and RuPaul's Jag Department, or sorry, RuPaul's Police Station,
uh-huh.
Raccoon Police Department,
RPD.
Have all been taken down, but now Gideon's is back up with, I think they had a graphic overhaul on it. I didn't really notice much at the time.
I didn't notice that
either. But they do have the new palettes, the new graphics for the palettes and whatnot in the game, and it's pretty good. But Dead Dog is still down, and I think Dead Dog is also going through a graphic overhaul. And actually, no, I know what was going on with Dead Dog. Okay, and this is hilarious.
Let's also try not to go too far down the Dead by Daylight rabbit hole, because not everybody plays it, so quickly, summary.
Okay, well, I've only got two things.
Yeah.
So what would happen... Okay, there's a move where a survivor can come out of a locker and knock a killer back, and it's called head-on.
Mm-hmm.
What was happening is that when head-on hit a killer in the Dead Dog level, it would shoot them outside of the map. Like, out of bounds.
Hmm.
Like, cartoon style. Yikes. It's hilarious. So that, yeah, so that went down.
That's a problem?
Well, I mean, not for the survivors, I guess. But, and then RPD had an exploit in it where there's a place that survivors could clip and make it out of bounds and then run to a certain area and automatically escape the level.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah. And so RPD was taken down to have that fixed. And so that is the state of Dead by Daylight. Maybe I should just make that a report, the state of Dead by Daylight.
did you find those games on Steam you were referring to earlier?
No, I didn't.
Okay. That's right.
But I do know that I did pick up Slay the Spire, and I'm going to give it a go. We'll
cool.
see. I'm still playing through Fantasian. I'm still playing through Fantasian.
Oh, yeah,
and
I
finished my grindy bit,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to be moving on to doing the next quest. So on Tuesdays, 6:30, I will be playing Fantasian.
Nice.
And I like to say it in the Mean Girls way. On Tuesday, we play Fantasian.
All right. Let's go to Loki and your gaming week.
It's been Minecraft. Been playing lots of Minecraft. Did lots of big projects in the game.
Oh, good.
Working on filming for that content. And then, I should be putting out something soon for that. Because, yeah, I built a huge drowned farm, which was a challenge. And then, some other farms and a shop. It's like I'm running tons of shops on the server now because people keep abandoning their stores. In fact, we just added like a brand new Discord channel where it's all these shops that are being sold because people just not coming back. So that's fun. And then, of course, yesterday I took a break from playing Minecraft to do a little bit of game dev. So I finally, after procrastinating for months, finished my update to Pixel Poops number 2 that I wanted to do. So that's Revision B, which is out now on itch.io. It should be out on Steam pretty soon. It adds 10 new levels. There's 2 new playable character models and a less punishing continue system. So no longer will you have to restart the whole world. When you die in a level, you'll actually be able to restart the level you died on. So hopefully it'll make it a little bit easier. But yeah, so that's out free.
Hooray!
If you already bought it, or it's available now, and that's probably going to be the version that gets put onto cartridges at some point.
All right, shout out for Pixel Poops number 2 on itch.io and Steam. Nice.
Yep.
Congrats. All right, my gaming week. I had to take notes. I've played so much this week. I'll try to keep it brief, though. I'll do my best. Yeah, I played a crap ton of stuff this week. So I got to try a PlayStation 5 for the first time while I was staying at Manor Black Wolf. He has that very nice setup in his basement. And so I finally got to try a PlayStation 5 for the first time. And I got to do the Astrobot, as Astro's Playroom. I'm sorry, I forgot the name of the game in the moment. I'm sure somebody in chat will shout it out. He wanted to like show me like the controller and how that whole thing kind of worked. And it is neat. I was playing this one level where you kind of had to like climb up, and those that have played the game, like climb up a rock wall, and it's got a neat little mechanic to it. Yeah, and SHO 100 Matt in chat says, Astro's Playroom is a really cool tech demo. Yeah, it is. That was a cute little fun game to play, and it really showed off how that controller is great. And then, of course, the other game I wanted to play on his PlayStation 5, I was like, show me No Man's Sky, because I play that game way too much, and I wanted to see how the Rumble fit into that as well, and it was neat. I see why people are really into the controller. Like, I don't think I'm like, oh my god, I'm missing everything by having an Xbox instead, but I get it. It's cute tech, and when I finally get around to getting a PlayStation 5, I'll appreciate that tech as well. So that was time in Black Wolf Theater playing those games. When I got home, speaking of No Man's Sky, Expedition 3 in No Man's Sky started. So I've been streaming a little bit of that. I streamed some on, was it Thursday and Friday? Yeah, because I was a little bit sick yesterday. So I didn't really stream yesterday. And then I didn't stream today because I've run out of time. But I will stream again tomorrow. I've been starting Expedition 3. And by the way, for those that were watching the stream, we were talking about, does it end Monday or Tuesday? And folks were telling me it goes through Tuesday. It does, but it's Tuesday at 6 a.m. Pacific, 9 a.m. Eastern. So there, Monday, tomorrow night, will be the last chance to get Twitch drops that are happening as well. So, yeah, the No Man's Sky Expedition has been going very well. It's weird because now you play it all on one planet, and you don't get to really leave that planet. It's all part of what the expedition is about, and it's not a very kind planet either, but you start with some protection. So it's interesting. It shows some different elements of the game and refreshes things. It is also interesting that the expedition has nothing to do with the Frontiers patch they put out. I was full on expecting there to be like the whole society thing that they started building in the towns and stuff. That's not in it, which I thought was interesting. So I'll have to explore that elsewhere. Bobby is mentioning in chat some additional things that I checked out at his house. Yes, there was the Yuffie DLC for Final Fantasy VII. I got to play maybe the first, I don't know, hour or so of that DLC. So that was cool to experience.
What do you think?
It was done very well. It was hard for me to reacclimate to Final Fantasy VII because I haven't played the remake in a year. But it felt very good on PlayStation 5, and it looked very good. I'll pick that up as soon as I get a PS5 for sure. But I didn't. You know, we only did like maybe the first little section of it. I didn't, you know, play too far to get to any major story stuff or anything like that.
How's the voice acting for her?
It's good. Yeah, it continues. Okay. The game's had a strong voice cast, and I'd say that continues for her. Bobby does mention this. Yes, I guess I should mention that. I didn't have it written down, but I should mention. He has that Mandalorian table. I played it and I did beat one of his high scores now. So he's a little bit like, he shows up to my house and beats my high score, but we need to clarify. I didn't beat the high score. I beat one of those categories of high scores because it keeps different.
You beat a mode.
Yeah, I beat a mode or something like that. I think it was like one of the mini games. I got the highest score in a particular mini game. So, yeah, there was that. But his arcade and stuff, like, you know, I'll defer to his show for him to tell you all about that stuff. But I did get to see it. His little arcade room is super cute. Like, it's all black light. It's got the carpet. It's got the arcade one-up cabinets. And there's definitely room for more in there.
Cool.
Darksoccer, if you ever get out to Manor Black Wolf, I think you'd appreciate his setup. And then you'd be like, if this was mine, I'd have this here, this here, this here, this here. But it was a nice setup. Yeah.
Well, things may work out next year.
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
Just saying.
All right. Let's see. Continuing on my gaming week, Final Fantasy 13 hit Xbox Game Pass finally on Xbox Series X and all that stuff. I think it might be PC as well, but I'm only really focused on the console. I really wanted to check this out because if you missed it, when Final Fantasy 13 became backwards compatible, they actually did some up-resing from like the masters of the cutscenes in the game. And what I kind of learned from playing through it, the textures look great. The characters look great. I almost feel like I'm playing an HD remaster of the game. Now, I don't want to get the expectations too high because there are some things that still definitely show their age a little bit, like the UI. But I was really impressed by how good Final Fantasy 13 looks now. And I think that game is really underrated in the Final Fantasy series. And now that I'm playing it again, I see so many clues about a big plot twist that comes up way later in the story that really changes the context of one of the characters. There are so many hints in the beginning of the game that like spell it out. and it's one of those you don't know unless you're looking for it. And I thought that was very clever. So anyway, I'm having fun with Final Fantasy 13. I played the WarioWare demo. I liked it. Now, I know the full game came out. I haven't picked it up yet just because I've been occupied with a bunch of other stuff. I will pick it up in this next week. I like the demo. You didn't like it, right, Loki?
No, I thought it was okay.
Oh, okay. I thought you didn't care for it.
No, I bought the game. My son beat it already.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, fast. I remember you saying that your son beat it really quickly.
Yeah.
Like, he beat the whole game in, like, I bought it on, like, Friday evening, and he beat it Saturday morning. So, it's like, it's short.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I'm the one who didn't care for the demo. No, I a lot of people didn't care for the demo. I felt like I was the only one that, like, was like, oh,
I like
that twist.
It's okay. I understand the twist in the game. There's some, like, neat modes and stuff that they have where you can unlock, like, a battle mode where you're basically fighting all the different characters, almost like Smash Brothers, sort of, which is kind of neat. I don't know. I kind of like the old Mario or the Wario games where, like, it's just, like, one type of game and you just play the different themes and stuff, not necessarily, like, oh, well, I'll play it as this character or I'll play it as this character, and it plays differently each time. It's a, I don't know. It just gets, you have to get used to it, I guess.
Right.
But it's fine. It's still fun.
I will check out the full game this week. I've just been that No Man's Sky thing kind of blindsided me, and I've been focused on that pretty much a lot with my gaming. All right, two games left on my list. One of them, I'm going to give a shout out, Super Metroid. Oh, yes, I played Super Metroid this week because on the flight home, fired up my Switch, went into the Super Nintendo, and I'm like, what game could take me about 4 hours to play? And I played Super Metroid. But I only played Super Metroid for maybe about an hour and a half. And I can't speed run it yet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I played it. But I was having a good time with it. Memories. Good times. All right.
Oh, Rob.
Here's the last game on my list. And I'm so mad about this, but I can't resist these games. The last game I've spent way too much time playing this week is Cookie Clicker.
Girl, yes.
Cookies, girl. Here's the thing. This game's like 10 years old, right? But they just released it on Steam. And there are seriously like 300 achievements in it and all this other stuff. And it's just, you know, you pay. It's silly because you're paying $5 for what is free. But it's also nice to support the developers. And they put a soundtrack from the Minecraft guy. So it is a little weird to hear like a Minecraft song because it's straight up a song out of Minecraft. It's weird to hear that while you're playing Cookie Clicker, but it's certainly not bad. And I've been obsessed. It's like, if you look at the VOG Network Discord, it's going to show on the right-hand side, Rob Roberts is playing Cookie Clicker right now because, yes, it's idling on the other computer in the other room right now so I can have more cookies when I get back so I can cast my spells to generate more cookies on my way to having an empire of grandmas and all the things that go into Cookie Clicker. If you don't know this game, that's probably a good thing, and I'm not going to tell you anything about it, so you can stay the hell away. No, it's an idle clicker game. Y'all probably remember.
It is the idle clicker
it
game.
It is the, well, one of two. I would say the other one was the one I talked about like 6 or 7 years ago when it was on PlayStation 4. Clicker Heroes was the other one I was obsessed with for a long time.
Yeah.
So I would say those two are like the idle clicker games. And then I'm sure Discord will light up this week with other people mentioning idle clicker games they like. It's a genre of games, the idle clicker game. But Cookie Clicker is like the classic, and it's available on Steam now. So shout out to them getting it out on Steam, and another stupid game for me to get into, but I'm having fun. All right. Sorry. I know I took up way too much time, but that was my list. I had a lot on my list. All right. Let's get to some other gaming news quickly. Before we get into more news, I have to mention, I'm like legally obligated and required to, as somebody who is an affiliate on Twitch here with VOG Network. It is September here on Twitch, and that means subs are a little bit cheaper, I believe. Please click
20%
to see all the details. Yeah, 20% off your first time sub, or gift subs are 20% off as well. And I did see some folks donating subs earlier, so thank you very much for that. Super appreciated. We'll shout those out after the recording, as we usually do. But I would be I would be remiss not to mention that subs are a little cheaper right now in those circumstances. If you do subscribe here at VOG Network, which you're not required to do, obviously we don't paywall anything with our podcast that we've done for the last 20 years. But if you want to see the video on demand, the VODs, that is something kind of new as of a couple of years ago that is behind the paywall, as well as some bonus videos. For example, if you want to see us reacting to episode one, we're on episode 883 tonight. If you want to see Dark Soccer, Loki, and myself reacting to episode one a couple months ago, you can actually check that out in the archives. So, and I just saw more subs go out there. Thank you, Bobby Blackwell.
Yay.
And I'll give out more shout outs later on. So thank you. All right. Enough of that. Let's get into gaming news. Loki, we'll start with you tonight.
Yes. Along with the whole announcement of all these wonderful games coming to the PlayStation 5 and whatnot, Sony also announced that, hey, you know that free ride we've been giving you with all those PlayStation 4 to PlayStation 5 upgrades? Well, it ain't free anymore. We're going to charge you $10 for it. Which is dumb. It really is dumb. Like, especially when you consider that games on the Xbox, you know, you can play them on Xbox One, you can play them on the Xbox Series consoles, you can play them on PC for the same price. Mm-hmm. It makes no sense. But that's, they want to charge extra money, just like, was it Madden and stuff like that, charging for their next-gen versions, like $79. They want to charge another $10 for those upgrades. Yeah, I don't know. So basically saying, you know, I also want to confirm that moving forward today, PlayStation first party exclusive cross-gen titles, including well, both digital and physical, will offer a $10 digital upgrade option from PlayStation 4 to PlayStation 5. This will apply to the next God of War and Gran Turismo 7. Any other cross-gen exclusive games published by and any other cross-gen PS4, PlayStation 5 titles published by Sony Interactive Entertainment.
And it should be noted this came after this whole hubbaloo about Horizon, not Horizon Zero Dawn, Horizon, God damn it, what's the name of the sequel? Forbidden West.
Forbidden West.
Took me a minute. Yeah. And that whole hubbaloo about it was like, were they going to charge, were they not? And so they kind of got cornered into having to give away that upgrade. And I think that's what made them say this statement, is that like Horizon is the last free one, and from now on it's going to cost $10 for the upgrade. I think you make a damn good point about the fact that Microsoft, you know, very obviously doesn't really have the same stance on things. I kind of think Sony can leverage their position here a little bit, and they're resting on the strength of a game like God of War and so on that people will pay that $10.
Here's the problem though. Like, yeah, and I get that, like that they're charging now. Are these games also like $70 retail games? Are they charging $69.99 for these as well?
My assumption is on PS5, yes, but on PS4, okay. No.
It's like,
and that's where the difference is.
There's like games, and it's their choice to do that. I think it's a poor choice, but like there's games like, for example, Madden NFL that just got released with, you know, the next gen prices as well, and you ain't getting a next gen game. It's like it's very corners cut and stuff like that, but it's these people thinking that, well, it's our franchise and we feel that you should pay $70 for this game even though it's basically the same game as each year. And it seems, it's funny, it's always these like sports titles, you know, like the NBA series, Madden, you know, all this stuff that they seem to feel like that they should be charging for this extra fee up front.
Zen Monkey,
take that in consideration when you're picking your consoles, I guess.
Zen Monkey 11 in chat says, it makes sense to me. Current gen games are like 70 something bucks. I think they need to let PS5 be PS5 and let PS4 be PS4. I don't know. It's hard for me to say I agree with that, but at the same time, I think the reality is people are going to grumble about this, but they're going to pay it. Like, people are not going to vote with their wallet. If they do, I'll be pleasantly surprised, but I think people are just going to pony up the money, because I think the reality is God of War going to cost $60 on PS4. It's going to cost $70 on PS5. So they're not going to give you a free pass if you buy the cheaper PS4 version. You got to pony up the difference. And on that level, it does make sense, you know, 4K graphics and textures, they ain't free, and so forth. But I do think they are giving Microsoft something to needle them at the end of the day. I will say that. I think Microsoft can needle them on, we don't have that price difference. However, I don't think it's going to matter, because PlayStation still has God of War. PlayStation still has Gran Turismo. And all the games that are affected by this are only games you can play on PlayStation. They're the PlayStation Studio games. So that's it. They got a lock on it.
Yeah, well, I mean, they can do what they want. If people are willing to pay that price, then I guess they can charge that. But I think it's silly, and it does, like I said, sure, it's not really an issue right now because no one can get any consoles. but when it does become more available and stuff, and you're comparing, you know, the cost of the games on those systems, granted, those exclusives are few and far between. That's fine. But, you know, especially when we've got, like, Microsoft purchasing all these studios, there's going to be a lot of exclusive games coming to their console pretty soon. Sure, it's a drought right now, but, like, you know, Halo's nothing to really, you know, balk at. I mean, you've got lots of big games coming. Granted, yeah, it's not God of War, but there's their franchises over there as well. I mean, so, and those I'm sure won't be charging $70 per game. Plus, you know, you have Games Pass, you could just get all that, you know, with your subscription. So I don't know. And I was hearing them like talking about, like, what was it, PlayStation Now and stuff, and how they're adding different games to that. And I'm just like thinking, yeah, that's not appealing to me.
Fifth Dream in chat says, I'm tired of Sony trying to cater to the PS4 when PS5 is out. Too bad you haven't upgraded, but that's how games have always worked. No one was demanding Super Nintendo games work on NES. To a point, I agree with you. There is a point where Sony has to leave the PlayStation 4 behind to really push the games on the PS5 and the cutting-edge tech. Here's the big problem. You still can't really buy a PS5. I know you're going to – y'all are going to needle me on that point because you're going to say, I have a PS5. You had to work to get that PlayStation 5. I don't think they can truly leave the PlayStation 4 behind because, remember, gamers – are not just you and me and the audience and the fandoms that would listen to a show like this. Gamers are the families and the living rooms, you know, that are more casual and play that type of stuff, that, you know, look for these things as holiday gifts. Until you can walk into Target and pull a PlayStation 5 off the shelf and put it in your cart, I'm not sure I totally agree with the you could just upgrade when you want. I don't think you can. We're still having to fight scalpers and all that stuff. Will this work itself out in a year? I think so, but I also thought it would have fixed itself by now. Like, I think if you go back to last year's show, we're sitting there going, well, by summer 2021, this won't be an issue anymore. So I think that's something Sony's still got to work out. But at the end, again, I say all that, and at the end of the day, I sort of go, but this $10, none of it's going to matter. People are going to pay it. They're going to be fine, and, you know, they're going to rabble, and they're going to pay it. And that will show Sony that they did the right thing, I guess. So, anyway, just some thoughts on that. Okay, let me move on. I want to talk about Xbox, I guess, a little bit in the next story, which has to do with a controller update. This is really funny because this is about the old Xbox controller. And I instantly thought of when Ranma called us. I think it was the show before that, maybe 881. I think he called us and was talking about that he was trying to get an Xbox One controller. And we were like, just get the Series X controller, dude. It's better. And he's like, no, I want a One controller. It's what I want. And one might say this news this week justifies Ranma's position because a firmware update to the Xbox One controller, not the Series X, but the One controller, came out this week. And it's out for insiders right now, but it allows the Xbox One controllers to more easily pair to Windows 10, iOS 15, and Android devices. Because, you know, for the cloud stuff, they want the controllers to pair with the mobile devices as well. The Xbox One controllers are going to get older controllers that will remember your phone or PC so that you can switch over from a console. And then there's also input latency, similar to what they have on the Xbox Series X and S, is the DLI is what they call. That is also coming to the Xbox One controllers. So if you have those controllers still sitting around, you might want to check for those upgrades. As of the article midweek, it's only out for the insiders in that program. But I'm sure this is going to roll out to a wider audience very soon. And you might actually be in the insiders program. I know I am. So I'll have to update my old controllers because, you know, why not? And DJ Ramos in chat says, by the way, I got my Xbox One controller. Well, there you go. And now there's a brand new firmware to put on it. If you're, well, will you put the new firmware on it, Rama? I'm curious about that. Anyway, I thought that was, that just made me laugh, especially considering that show a couple weeks ago made me laugh. All right, let's move on. Dark Sakura.
So the thing that has been the bane of many a streamer, the hate raids.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Twitch is finally doing something about it. Something, at least. As a lot of people know, we had a strike on September 1st to protest against Twitch's lack of response. And so now Twitch has filed a lawsuit against two of the people involved in the hate raid. Their names are only known as Creatine Overdose and Cruise Control, believed to be from Austria and the Netherlands, respectively. They have suspended and permanently banned their accounts, and they've used alternate accounts to keep going with their hate raids. And so now they have been sued, basically, to prevent anything else from happening and to seek some, I guess, some reparations about it. But the big thing that I think a lot of us want to see is it's not just these two. I mean, maybe these two are the big ones behind it, but, and it's a start, but they need to do something to fix the potential abuse for the system.
I say this news is deserving of one clap. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Now let's tackle some of the other issues that broadcasters are asking for. You know, meanwhile, this news comes out and, you know, you think it would shut things down. I was followed by eight of those hoes while I was, and I call them hoes.
The hoes.
The name
yeah.
starts H-O-S, so they're hoes. So
I was reading it as Hoss.
I know.
Because it's H-O-S-S.
I realize that's probably not what they want you to call them, but you would only call somebody what they want to be called when you respect them. Because I don't respect them, I'm going to call them what I want to call them, and they're hoes.
Well, it's okay, because everybody else has been calling them hoes anyway.
Yeah, they're hoes. So eight of those hoes followed me while I was broadcasting No Man's Sky. And so I had to go blah, blah. So it's like the issue is still going on. I'm kind of surprised Twitch allows you to create a name with hoes in it right now. Because they're all – but I, at the same time, if they ban that name, they just move to something else. We all know that.
And now, like, I had one that was, like, hose something underscore winner, and then ha 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 ha.
Yeah.
And then the moment, though, that I went to, because, you know, I keep my channel open all the time, so I get to see anyone who's followed me while I'm not live. Hmm. Just there, you know, because I also go in and host a lot of other people. And I saw both of them there. When I went to ban them, they had already been deleted.
Yeah, so something is happening, which, you know, again, okay, clap, but it's still, it's like not enough, you know?
Yeah.
But I, you know what, I will say I appreciate that they're taking the legal angle with it and trying to sue the pants off of them, and most importantly, out who they are. Because these individuals, when they are named, they will get to mm-hmm. own that imagery, those words, that hate will be tied mm-hmm. to those individuals. And
the other thing,
even if we don't have public spanking anymore, these two are going to be publicly spanked by the internet. Sorry, Dark Sakura.
Well, the other thing, though, that makes me think on the other side, and it's the same thing as, I mean, I don't want to compare the two, but it's sort of like the publicity that a mass shooter gets or a cult leader gets.
Okay, I can see that.
Is that it also does lead to copycats.
Mm.
We shouldn't be making people famous for doing shitty things.
Okay, I can respect that side of it. I mean, there is a part of me that thinks that there needs to be accountability, you know, and these two need to own it. But I completely understand the whole sometimes these people get turned into martyrs because of that. and that okay, yeah. that's a valid concern. But I feel like there needs to be that accountability too. So where do we find that balance between making these people accountable but not making them famous? And I think that is where we have to hold the media, the reporting, and all of that accountable, is that when these names are ultimately outed, they are only used in a negative context in the media, mm-hmm. you know? And that we uplift the marginalized creators that have been so attacked by these raids, you know, as the good guys, and the hoes are the bad guys. So
it's going to be a balance, I think, to do this right.
Yeah.
I definitely don't. I would rather in this case that instead of their channel names be listed, even though they are permabanned, that they just straight up give their name if that's going to happen.
All right. Well, to be continued. I think we'll be reporting on this nearly every week until it's resolved. So we'll see. All right.
At least, though, it is something. Yeah. I would put this as a 2-clap.
Yeah. Okay. One clap for the lawsuit. One clap for the other thing I already forgot. the banning that we're noticing is happening. So one clap for each. All right. Twitch has earned 2 claps. We should have a clap counter. All right. Anyway. Moving on, unfortunately, and I don't want to laugh because we're about to go into another story that is here we go another week of this, but this is a necessary topic, especially when we talked about everything that was going on with Activision Blizzard King a couple weeks ago, which, by the way, I just want to remind everybody, the demands of the employees at Activision Blizzard King have still gone unresponded to. But I mentioned when we talked about that this is a symptom of the industry, not just one company. And Loki, I think you have some follow-up to that, right?
Yeah, it's more companies. So Wargaming, the community manager, has quit alleging toxic corporate culture. So there's been issues with Wargaming for a while, especially like even how they treat their kind of... I don't know, their partners, I guess, that have decided to leave. Remember, there's a whole thing about there's one of the ships that was being given away as part of a loot box or something like that, mm-hmm. instead of being given there like a direct way to purchase it or something like that. And you may remember that there was a promo code that was sent out, or a code that was available that basically... translated to, you know, fucking Turi, which Turi, I guess, is one of the streamers who was also kind of fed up with what was going on. So there was like some abuse, you know, they were basically targeting their partners and stuff. But basically, yeah, so, you know, these folks are leaving. Says, I'm fortunate to have been given the opportunities to advance on my own career and amazing things. But they have to make the decision because of the recent termination of an employee on my team. They believe to be a kind, competent individual for reasons I personally perceive them to be an illegitimate, incredibly persistent campaign to unfairly scapegoat him by leadership. So there's folks just like, I guess, dogpiling on this employee. And, you know, he blames like toxic corporate culture, perpetuating cycles of serious errors that stretch back at least 4 years, well before the person's time on the team, and as well as, you know, his pay grade. So, yeah, this was Zachary Kabmek-Doig, and he has like a whole letter here if you want to, you know, check that out. But basically saying, yeah, there is just some campaign to target different people. To try to like kind of push them out. So that's unfortunate that happens. So that's one company. And then there's another one talking about Paradox. So Paradox, which is a Swedish publisher, there was a survey conducted by the Swedish unions that spoke to 133 of the about 400 employees, and they alleged that 44% said that they had experienced some form of mistreatment. Of those surveyed, 26% were women, where the statistics were much worse. They said 69% of them have experienced abusive treatment as well.
So fun. This is an international industry problem as well. You know, this kind of definitely points the finger at that.
I would be wondering if it's just like, it's not even like just the gaming industry. I think in general, like there could be a lot of toxic behavior out there, but
it is, it is the tech industry. You know, and gaming is certainly a part of that. You know, I overheard a very interesting conversation. Alan and I went to dinner the other night at a ramen place here that we really enjoy that recently opened up a huge outdoor dining area, and it felt great. But the people behind us, there were two girls that were students at the local university. I could tell they were talking very loud. Like, I wasn't trying to eavesdrop, but they were, I don't know, a few drinks in or something. They were talking very loud. And it was very interesting to hear them talk about the tech industry, because I think they were both in it or like studying to be in it. And they were kind of talking about, you know, some of the weird things that dudes do in the industry. And, you know, I you know, there's that part of me that kind of wants to be like, you know, there's some good people too, but you know, you don't want to not all men that type of conversation. And it's just, I think, you know, you get to be a fly on a wall for a very realistic and, a perspective on things and how creepy some people can be.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. And then, of course, Paradox has responded to these allegations, saying, obviously, the results of the survey are deeply concerning. It's like bog standard PR speak there. The management team wants to ensure this data is acted upon, but taking immediate direct action is legally difficult thanks to the informal nature of the survey. Fun.
All right. Well, it's unfortunate that this is continuing, but at the same time, it has to be kind of like it's been happening. So this stuff has to come out. It has to be identified. If companies are going to put out their canned PR speak, okay, but it has to be called out so it can be fixed. So again, I sadly don't think it's going to end here. They're going to have more of this. So we'll see. Meanwhile, let's talk about some good news, I think, with the studio. Let's talk about the recent purchase by PlayStation Studios of Fire Sprite. Fire Sprite is the studio that made Playroom, the Playroom VR, and The Persistence. And they are now a part of PlayStation Studios. And honestly, I think the most surprising part of this story to me was that they weren't already, because everything they've developing is pretty much exclusive for PlayStation. But who can forget how important the Playroom was to those early days of broadcasting on the PlayStation 4?
I remember that was a thing.
So it makes it very, I'm curious what they're going to bring to the table for PlayStation in the next experience. But anyhow,
PlayStation Home.
Hey, I'd love that, but we'll see. Some developers will go back to Sony with this deal, but quite a few members of Fire Sprite apparently came from the Wipeout developer Studio Liverpool, and then Sony bought that when they were Psygnosis, and then they shut them down in 2012. Anyway, Sony and Fire Sprite have been kind of hand in hand ever since then. All of that said is the team is working on something new, but we don't know what it is. We only know that they did the Playroom, and they had a Vita and mobile title, Run Sackboy Run. I played that. I think that's one of the Endless Runners.
Did they do the Astrobots games as well, or was that a different studio?
They did not do the Astrobot PlayStation 5 game, which is interesting because all that stuff came from
the
Playroom.
Yeah, because Playroom, like, one of the things that I liked playing on there the most with, like, my kids is they had an bot game. It was, like, throwing ninja stars as ninja bots or something like that. It's, like, throwing ninja stars on, like, a runner type of game. And that was kind of fun to kind of show you, like, the motion controls for the PlayStation 4.
It should be noted, with Fire Sprite, the Playroom and Run Sackboy Run, those are the only titles that haven't really been VR related. So it's very likely Fire Sprite is working on something to launch PlayStation 5's VR headset whenever that happens.
That makes
sense. I would say that's probably what they're working on. And so we don't know if that means another like Astrobot Playroom related thing. Hey, I always thought PlayStation Home, like the shift to VR, would make a lot of sense for that. But, And then jumping in as well to save the day in chat, Bobby Blackwolf is in chat saying Astrobot is Asobi Studios, not to be confused with Osobo, who made Flight Simulator. So there's a little bit of a correction there from our chat. And by the way, yes, you just saw a new camera angle here on Twitch, so that when there's chat stuff to shout out, we have that available. All right. Let's move on with our next story, which I think is Dark Sakura's, even though she's got delivered dinner, I think.
It is, but there's no mayonnaise on it.
Good.
Hey, it's my food and I like mayonnaise. I get Kewpie mayonnaise. You know, a lot of people really enjoyed Sonic Colors. I don't know why, but some people liked it. And so Sonic Colors Ultimate came out on the Switch. But apparently the Switch version has a lot of buggy bugs and glitchy glitchies. And so a Twitter user named Vex contacted Nintendo to try to get a refund. And they were all like, yeah, we know about it. Here's your money back. And so apparently you can now call Nintendo and get your refund.
Unless you're enjoying the game or have played a lot of it, then don't do that because you got your money's worth, right? So,
right.
But apparently there's a lot of issues with the Nintendo version of the game that are not present in the other versions of the game. And right. Don't know if that's part of the tech specifications of the Switch or what have you, but I guess it's having problems. I haven't played Sonic Colors Ultimate myself, so I can't tell you what that's all about, but that's interesting that Nintendo's offering that. It's the cyberpunk of Sonic games, clearly.
I reckon.
All right. Let's move on. Loki.
So this is kind of exciting, but apparently there is a working PlayStation 4 emulator now. That's right, PlayStation 4. Now, it doesn't play a lot of things, obviously. It's not a full-fledged emulator for a lot of the retail software, but you can actually play some of these 2D games. In fact, I saw some examples of, what was it, Shovel Knight being played on it, which it's still kind of got some graphical issues and whatnot, but right now what they've been kind of playing on there is a lot of these different 2D games. But there's still, a lot of different hitches with it. Like, for example, there's stuff you have to dump from a PlayStation 4 and files that you need to run in order to be able to do that. And then transferring the game as well. You have to do that to get that to run on PC. But it is an exciting start, at least, to see them being able to play, some games on there. And it was actually running at, pretty good speeds. Aside from the graphical glitches, I mean, it was pretty respectable for where it's at. Yeah. Now, when we get into 3D and when some of those graphical things are enabled, that may, cause the games to run a little bit slower. But it's still not a bad start so far.
And Bobby in chat, Bobby Blackwolf, asked an appropriate question saying, so if it doesn't play many things, is it really a working emulator?
It plays lots of indie games. So they said that right now the emulator has hundreds of indie games that are supported by it. So it's basically 2D games that are running on it right now.
And
so
I've mentioned on the show before that back in the day I was a little more heavily involved with emulator scenes, especially when the Nintendo emulators and Super Nintendo emulators really were starting to gain a lot of ground. And usually it's kind of like a checkpoint along the way for a lot of the emulator developers, because it's one thing to have the hardware going and have the hardware kind of run, but it's another to actually then get the game working. For example, a very popular NES emulator back in the day, and I'm going to date myself a little bit here because this isn't the one people use anymore, was Nesticle, was the big one that a lot of folks used, right? There was Nesticle and there was Genesis, because the developer had a sense of humor.
Those are the ones. Yeah. Although I think I used a different one than Genesis, because Genesis wouldn't play Panorama Cotton.
And that you actually put what it is. So Nesticle was considered a working emulator. But it didn't play every NES game, because there were NES games with custom mappers, custom chipsets. And it had a lot. One of the big things back in the day, I figured out how to get Castlevania 3 running on Nesticle by changing some things in the file specifications. And that got the vertical scrolling stuff to work. that was considered working even though it wasn't 100% perfect. So there's kind of a difference between the emulator works and the emulator is 100%. Now I would say the NES emulators you see nowadays, like the things that are playing Pixel Poops number 2 and stuff, those are 100% emulators, basically. But I also get, you know, I don't know if Bobby was saying that tongue-in-cheek or not, but I also kind of get it. But just coming up from a long time ago, a working emulator is basically like when it plays one game, it works. It emulated a game. Now it's building it out from there to 100% emulation.
So. Yeah, so and the emulator, because I didn't mention the name, is called Spine. And they did update some of the game library on the 1st of September. But there's, you know, still quite a bit that needs to be worked on. There are some games, though, that are running on, like Persona 5R is running. Like I said, though, lots of graphical issues right now, but at least it is booting up to the game and it's able to run it. They have a whole, like, spreadsheet of all the different games and, like, where they are, like, whether they'll boot at all, where if it gets to, like, the title screen or in-game, that type of stuff. So it's not perfect, obviously, but it is progress.
Just think, that guy that wrote Nesticle probably got to be in his late 40s now, probably a family. And he's like, I'm the guy that wrote Nesticle. Anyway, shout out to that guy. Hey, that guy got us through our college years. So shout out. And I hope he's doing well, even if Nintendo probably wanted to sue the pants off of him back in the day. I hope he's having a good day. All right, moving on. Let's talk about this next story, which has to do with a Steam update. So Steam got an update this week, which has to do with managing downloads and storage. Makes it very easy to move games from one drive to another, which I appreciate because I sometimes need to get things off my solid state drive onto the non-solid state drive to get a different game on the SSD. These changes have been in beta for a while, but it just came out for all users as a stable release. It will now show installation progress on top of download status. And now there's, instead of view news, there's patch notes. There's also a storage manager that will show you how much space you have left for moving games around and things of that sort. I still want to know why it takes my computer so fucking long to patch a game. Do you know that Dead by Daylight pinhead thing? And this happens with every Dead by Daylight patch that comes out. It takes my computer, like, it takes an hour and a half to 2 hours to download and patch that. It's crazy. And I don't know, does that happen to anybody else?
Hear it for Stadia. I never have to deal with that.
I also don't have that weird frame rate thing that comes in when the cloud gets skippy. So
I don't have weird frame rate things. Remember, usually when I'm playing, I am streaming at the same time.
Yeah. Okay, so Bobby in chat says it happens for some of my games, but not others. I guess that is that whole sorry, I lost my train of thought. It's that whole it happens for some of my games and not for others, is what Bobby Blackwolf said. It really depends on if the game is packed rather than just flat files. Is that spaghetti code coming into play again when it comes to Dead by Daylight? That's for sure. How about that? DJ Rama S found the guy that did Nest. He works for EA as a senior software engineer now. Well, good for him. Congratulations. That means he's making money. Good for him. All right. And Steam update. Hooray. Bobby says it really depends if the game is packed rather than just flat files. Well, Dead by Daylight's definitely a packed game. All right. Let's go to a simpler time when we didn't have to have a download manager. Why? Because everything was on a cartridge. Or I think, in tonight's game case, a CD. So let's get into...
No, not even a CD.
Something special. All right. Let me play the official transition.
Now it's time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
And what did you pick this week, Dark Soccer?
I picked Blue Stinger, a game I've talked about a whole bunch and have never apparently done. So,
And happy belated birthday to the Dreamcast with this one, right?
Seriously. Yeah, the ninth. So basically, this particular game came out in 1999 for the Dreamcast. It was developed by Climax Graphics. originally published by Sega and then in Japan, and outside of Japan, it was published by, Activision. The game is entirely 3D. You heal yourselves real time with, you know, food and drinks in the game. And of course, you have to buy them from vending machines. So you can only get to heal when it's actually safe to heal. You can buy weapons and ammo the same way out of a vending machine, including you can get rocket launchers, napalm, triple-barreled shotguns. You can get a freaking lightsaber. That was my favorite weapon. You have two characters. You have Elliot, and you have another guy named Dogs who has a crossbow. And so there's also, like, the beat... So it sort of combines some shooter elements and some beat-em-ups. So, basically, a long-ass time ago, a meteorite hits and it wiped out all the dinosaurs. And then now, this biotech company is trying to make things happen. I don't want to just say too much because it's been a long time since I played this game. I beat it when it came out. And then this, like, creature arrives that is... seals it in this dome of energy, and so Elliot's trying to solve this mystery. So as far as the game goes, the big thing that's notable about it is that the cinematography in the Japanese version was it basically drew from cinematic techniques. And it really added, I think, to the drama in the game, added some tension in certain scenes. Close. Thanks for helping. But my name is Elliot G. Ballad. In the US version, it had some pretty terrible dubbing. Who are you? And this fixed camera system. It was a behind the player third person view. Kind of Tomb Raider-ish. Or almost Resident Evil-ish. But, like, there's this one scene. Because I played through both the U.S. and the Japanese version. I had the Japanese version first. There's this, like, tower that you're on a spiral going up. And the camera would zoom far out. And, like, almost like a drone looking around it, you know? It was really, really cool. It was hard as fuck to play. You kind of had to pay attention to where you were. But then in the US one, it's just following you around and it's so fucking boring. It's boring as balls. But the game itself did not get a lot of great, great ratings. Okay. Like, it maybe was middle of the line. It had a 28 out of 40 from Famitsu. You know, it didn't, like, the highest rating it got was an 8.4 out of 10 from IGN. So it was pretty average. But it was novel. And it was a fun actual little game. I wasn't mad at it. I played through the whole thing. I thought it was fun. I had a great time with it. And it is one of the early full 3D survival horror games. You know, I honestly like to say that Blue Stinger paved the way for Code Veronica to come out. I just really thought that the game was a neat little game. I thought that it had unique elements to it. I laughed my ass off that you would have to buy all your shit through a vending machine. That you could buy a rocket launcher in a vending machine. Go fig. So, yeah, I would say that if you can find the Japanese copy of it, however you find it, give that one a play. You can play it in English. It's not a difficult game by any means. I had an easy time of it. I played all the way through it in practically one sitting. Actually, I take that back. It was a couple of sittings, but it was a nice, fun little game. And it had a decent story. I mean, yeah, the graphics now are going to be kind of dated. It is very early Dreamcast, but it was absolutely a smash to play. I had a great time with it. So, There you go. It's Blue Stinger.
I'm not sure. It definitely kind of set the stage for, like, cinematic type of games. Like, you know, I see a lot, even though, yes, it's a little bit clunky and old-looking, I still see, like, a lot of modern games in this.
Yeah. And, like, even this one little scene here. Now, this is, I want to say this one is the Japanese version. Yeah, it is. Because you can see how... In some cases, it starts off with these, like, more cinematic elements.
Mm-hmm.
It was very novel for what it did. That's what my thought is. It was very novel for what it did. It certainly set the stage again for this type of play. And it was all 3D.
Very true.
So...
Some comments in chat. Bobby Blackwell says, I bought this on launch day at the Dreamcast just for the intro movie. It really wasn't my kind of game, so I never really played it much further. And then SSJ100 Matt in chat says, yeah, I got the game around launch as well. Wasn't a fan at the time, but appreciated it later. I think I ended up trading it, for NFL Blitz. So it kind of sounds like, you know, with, you know, kind of what you guys are saying there, it's kind of one of those things where it's like it wasn't the greatest game, but so
if you only
things,
played the US version, you missed out.
But so many things that it did kind of set the stage for later stuff, too. But there probably will not be any hurry to make a remaster of this game or anything like that.
If they did, though, there's a lot of potential in it.
Okay. All right. Your classic game of the week, Blue Stinger. All right. Let's travel around the world quickly and check out some other rapid-fire news. So, Loki, I'm going to go to you.
All right. So, you know me. I am a big fan of... Legos. And so there's a brand new set coming out now for Super Mario 64. And it's actually a giant question block with a bunch of micro builds of the different levels in Super Mario 64 as well. And it all folds down into one neatly shaped question block. And they've got like Peach's Castle, Bomb Battlefield, Cool Cool Mountain, and Lethal Lava Trouble are the levels that are kind of featured in there. So that's pretty awesome. It's coming out October 1st for $169.99 at Lego.com or the Lego retail stores. Not sure if I'll pick this up because I have no room for any more sets, unfortunately. But I would if I did. And then this is kind of fun. So we always hear, like, you know, patches for different games to block cheating. But in this case, Cookie Clicker has been patched to help with cheating. So they have a patch now that it was to address some memory leak issues due to some audio stuff when using auto-clicking. And so now they've fixed that. So now you can use auto-clickers with less...
I do not use auto-clickers, for the record. No. But I do want to check out some of the mods. I should have mentioned that when I was talking about my gaming week. Is it Cookie Clicker now embraces mods, and that's another big thing of the Steam release.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I'm waiting for Titty Clicker. Nothing yet. Sorry, podcast listeners, but the look Dark Soccer just shot me while she's mid sandwich. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says TTP Clicker. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, anything's possible thanks to mods.
Yeah. So check that out.
I will. Let's move on. Dark Sakura, when you're able to chew on that sandwich, I think you have a couple of things that were shouted out in our Discord.
Yeah. So one of those is that Platinum Games wants to bring Star Fox Zero to the Switch. And Star Fox Zero was on Wii U. Came out in 2016, and it was one of Platinum's games, and they want to bring it back. It'd be cool if they did. And actually, they're quoted as saying, it's not cool that people aren't able to play older games because they're locked out on the platform. And so, of course, if anything was possible, we'd like to bring over any of those older titles to the newer platforms. And in other news, Arcade 1UP has a a tabletop a Mortal Kombat and the Marvel versus Capcom table and everything. They are now up for pre-order. And there was much rejoicing.
Well, it's interesting. So these games were never on tabletop. That's what struck me as interesting about it, is that these games were never cocktail cabinets. They're fighting games. Somebody's going to be screwed on the wrong side.
I'm trying to look at this picture to see. Oh, look at it. The screen is split in half.
Oh.
So one person they have a mirror of the screen.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that they had a Street Fighter 2 cocktail cabinet at one point.
Not Street Fighter. This is Mortal Kombat 2.
Well, I think
the other one is Marvel versus Capcom.
Separately, I think Loki's talking about that. These are new. I think there has been a Street Fighter 1. But I think also, like, in the real world, quote unquote, that game was so fucking popular. You can't really understate, like, what that game did for arcades in 1992 or whatever year it was. That one, I wouldn't be surprised if it had a legitimate cocktail cabinet at one point. It was just that big of a game. Even if it didn't make sense. So.
Sort of on off topic, you know those like little tiny arcade cabinets?
Oh yeah, the ones I collect, these little arcade classics. There's other different types too.
Well, you know, we were getting some of them.
Mm-hmm.
I found at TJ Maxx of all places a Galaga cocktail table size.
Like a full arcade 1-Up machine?
No, the teeny ones.
Oh, but a cocktail?
Yeah, but a cocktail.
Huh.
It is tiny. But of course, you know, I had to buy it. I mean, normally those things was, I think they were like $20. And this was like, of course, because it was TJ Maxx, it was like 10.
Yeah. Wow. I might have to go on a run. I didn't think to check stuff like Big Lots and TJ Maxx, but yeah.
Don't go to Big Lots because they are hate paid.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that. All right. But I think of those types of stores, you know.
They contributed to you-know-who.
Oh. All right. What were you going to say, Loki?
Oh, I was going to say, this a while back, okay, we had talked about another company that was bringing arcade games to the, you know, home. Mm-hmm. Was Ice.
Yeah, I remember
so
that.
So that got me thinking, like, did they ever put up their page to sell arcade games? They have, actually. So you can. The thing is, though, is I don't see how these are like home versions of arcade games. These just look like arcade games. So, like, for example, they have Jurassic Park Pro. You know that you can bring that game home for $10,000. That's just the arcade game at that point. That's not like. That's not a deal. That's just an arcade game. Or, like, you can get a skee ball that's, like, $5,000. It's like, that's just skee ball. You know, like, I don't get it. But they are selling them now. So that's a thing. But
all righty.
Sadly, it's a $9,295 thing and not a $500 thing, which is what I was really hoping it was.
All right. Let's travel around the world and check out some release dates on some games coming out pretty soon. So, Loki, we'll start with you in the U.S.
Thank God Deathloop is finally coming out, so I don't have to see any more stupid trailers for it. But that's coming out on PlayStation 5 and PC. And speaking of a stupid trailer, we did get another one of those during the PlayStation event because, God forbid, they have to, you know, shout that game out since it's the only Bethesda game they're getting.
I'm actually going to agree with Loki on this. They're setting that up for disaster by show. It's like I get the No Man's Sky vibe from that. Sorry, which is funny because I love No Man's Sky now, but we all know that when it released, it did not like really buy into all that hype because they hyped it over and over and over again. And I feel Deathloop is in a Deathloop, pun intended.
Yeah. It was annoying. So, but it is coming out though. So look for that this week. We have Bang Dream Girls Band Party on Nintendo Switch.
All right.
Punctuation is key there. Eastward on a PC, Mac, and Nintendo Switch. Metallic Child on PC and Nintendo Switch. Skatebird on PC, Nintendo Switch, and Xbox One. And Origami 2 on PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. And last but not least, Ni No Kuni 2 Revenant Kingdom Princes Edition on Nintendo Switch.
All right. Heading over to Japan, a few games this week on September 16th for the Nintendo Switch. Sin's Memories, Off the Starry Sky. That same Bang Dream Girls Band Party for Nintendo Switch also coming out. But you know what? That's a music game that looks, it's got that, like, rolling grid with the notes on it. And now it kind of, I'm like, oh, I'm curious. I want to see more about this. If it has some songs I'm into, I might be into it. Attention, Bobby Black Wolf. Ni No Kuni 2 Revenant Kingdom is being released on the Nintendo Switch this week. In Japan, but I think it's actually also due for the U.S. So there's that as well on the Switch this week. A game called Kiwi, not like the fruit, but K-E-Y-W-E is out this week. Charade Maniacs is out as well. And Metallic Child is also out in Japan this week. And that is what you got on the Nintendo Switch. Checking the PlayStation 5 real quick. We have Deathloop's Japanese release is same date as the U.S. release on the 14th. Some overlap as well with Kiwi. We have Space-Based Startopia, and that is it for... Oh, I'm sorry. Aliens Fireteam Elite is also out in Japan this week. And that is it for Japanese releases. Dark Sakura, how about the U.K.? I think you're muted, Dark Sakura.
No, I was.
Oh.
I know.
Okay.
We have on the 14th, we have Cruisin' Blast and Deathloop, 3D Billiards, Pool, and Snooker. That's on the 16th. Also on the 16th, we have Panda Hero, Rims Racing, Ni No Kuni 2 for Switch. That's on the 17th. Also on the 17th is Oniria Crimes, I guess. And then Pecaminosa. Also on the 17th. And that's it.
All right. Let's get some more news stories, and then we'll open up for calls. If you want to join our Discord, vognetwork.com/Discord. In the green room is where we'll field for calls. But we do have a little bit of time still. It's probably going to be a few minutes before we get there. We have some more stories, including this one from Loki about some international news, right?
Yeah, so there was some news while we were out about the Chinese government cracking down on basically gameplay, relegating children to only allow them to play, like, I think it was like 2 or 3 hours a week during specific times, and or under the age of 18, yeah. And so because of that lock or the kind of crackdown, there is several... lots of money being lost from Chinese companies. So $60 billion in losses from NetEase and Tencent because of their stocks and the sell-offs that they had to do during that time because of this announcement. That's a lot of money that they lost. But yeah, so along with that, though, of course, there's new restrictions in place were basically because, you know, China is really controlling for all of, you know, their gaming and everything. So you have to put like in some ID number or something into the system when you play. And but, you know, people are going to circumvent it. So what are people doing? Well, kids are taking their parents' IDs and putting them into the system along with their names and playing games under their parents' profile instead so they can get around the 2 hour limit that they have, because like no one would have figured this out, I guess. But yeah, it's interesting. Apparently, though, the Tencent's also rolling out a time-sensitive facial recognition system for some games. They're calling it Midnight Patrol, aims to prevent kids posing as grown-ups by scanning their face between, I guess, the hours of 10 p.m. and 8 a.m. I don't live in China.
I know. I was going to say, I get how they probably get away with that on smartphones, but how do they do that on desktops? I guess there's
put a
ways.
Picture of, maybe. You put a picture of their parent like next to a webcam or something like that, and then just point the webcam somewhere else. Get away with everything.
It's just really unfortunate. Like, I understand that, you know, the gaming addiction problem is real, and it's real here. It's not just real overseas, but sometimes some of the culture with the cafes and stuff really exacerbate that whole thing. But I just don't understand, like, do they regulate how long you can watch a movie? Do they regulate how long you can read a book? Do they regulate
what kind of movies
TV shows? I mean, yeah, they do regulate the kind of movies, but they don't really regulate the length. They've been regulating the kind of games for a long time. You know, the most popular story that comes to my mind is World of Warcraft had to kind of get rid of the undead in order to release, because that is very frowned on in that culture, is like the I guess animation of like bodies or things like that. So they had to really change it. Yeah. And they're called the Forsaken, and they're different. They're not so zombie like, I guess. So but
they're of the unliving.
Yes. SJ100 Matt suggests, as another way to get around the scanning, print out your parents' face and wear it as a mask. There you go. Or just say, you know, Dad, come here. Can you look at the camera? All right. Anyway.
Going to have a staring contest with this camera for a good, I don't know, 8 hours while I play some World of Warcraft.
All right. Let's talk further about legal issues. And this has to do with a Kickstarter. There was a hand-drawn Nintendo Entertainment System game guide.
I already know what happened here.
Yeah, right? I don't even need to finish
there
the story.
There was a Nintendo... Oh, mm-hmm.
Well, you know, actually, you know what's interesting? They're not naming the company that sent the lawyer, and I wonder if that's for legal reasons. Everybody is assuming... because it's interesting, because even, I'm looking at a source here from Kotaku that got corrected after the fact, saying a previous version of this story jumped to conclusions regarding the parties involved in the shutdown. I found that very interesting, because that means somebody contacted Kotaku telling him to change it out of possible legal concerns there. So this is a very interesting legal game of chess that's going on. Anyway, what happened? It was a hand-drawn game guides Kickstarter by creator Philip Summers, and he knew it was a risk to do, but the Kickstarter happened. The Kickstarter got well-funded, over $300,000, but then had to be canceled. Again, they did not name outright what happened, but in an update on Kickstarter, the creator Philip Summers said, he was contacted by a lawyer. And so from there, he made that decision to pull the project. And I totally got his reasoning, because if the Kickstarter had gone through and that money got pulled from everybody's bank account, he'd be legally obligated through Kickstarter to come through with the backer rewards. And this is kind of what he went through in his message. And so he didn't want to find himself in that position, so he pulled the plug before the Kickstarter finished, basically. Everybody is jumping to conclusions about who that lawyer was and who they were representing. But I also think I think Nintendo, quite frankly, whether it was or wasn't them, Nintendo has earned that reputation of everyone jumping to conclusions that it is them for a very good reason. And I think that speaks to something as well, is like, you know, whether that lawyer was or wasn't from Nintendo, we all assume it was, because Nintendo has this reputation now in the industry. That being said, I'm not surprised at all. And this was a pretty bold move to try to do this guide using all of these different IPs from a classic Nintendo era. Here's the interesting thing. When people are selling their prints of Samus and Mario and things they draw at a convention or whatever, there's kind of a wink and a nod and an under the table type of thing. I think the scale of this type of project definitely drew somebody's attention. And that's why it ultimately got shut down. But because it's all legalese, we'll never know exactly who it was and exactly what was said. But I think it was smart of him to preemptively pull the plug, because he made a damn good point. If he had continued it, he would have had to deliver on those backer rewards, and he may not have been able to do that legally. So, something
wondering if, like, because, like, I'm looking here and looking at the different guides that they have, and they have, like, Contra, and there's, like, Ninja Gaiden and stuff like that. I'm wondering if, like, couldn't just take Metroid and Zelda out of there and just do, like, some of these other guides.
Perhaps.
Instead.
But the reality is, he needs to get permission from the developers in order to sell something like that on that scale. So, anyway. All right. Moving on. Dark Sakura.
The stupid mute button doesn't want to work. Anyway, we have Ueda Ryuta, who was the Jet Set Radio artist and the director of Yakuza, is back at Sega. Yay! Yeah. And this was like a while. It was like 10 years or so. He posted the news on Facebook in May, and he was thanking his coworkers at Yahoo, where he had been working on some mobile titles, that he was going to go back to making games at Sega. And apart from being the art director for Jet Set Radio and Jet Set Radio Future, like I said, he was the director on the first two Yakuza games. He is... it's kind of coinciding with the departure of Nagoshi Toshiro, who was the current Yakuza creator.
That is exactly what came to mind, yeah.
Yeah, and he's leaving for a Chinese company called NetEase. So other games that are under Ueda's belt are Rise of Nightmares, Panzer Dragoon, the Panzer Dragoon series, including Panzer Dragoon Zai, Panzer Dragoon Saga, which was in Japan's Panzer Dragoon RPG, and Panzer Dragoon Orta, and some of the Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing games. So who knows what'll happen? I'm looking forward to it.
All right.
Welcome back.
That's going to be interesting, that how much Yakuza's changed, and now, you know, Like a Dragon is going to be the direction for the main series. So it's interesting that the original director is kind of walking back into that, where this big change has happened. But it'll be interesting. I'm very, you know, just because I enjoyed the last game, and yes, I still need to finish it, and, you know, I've just been distracted with all these other new shinies. I am really curious about that next game. I'm definitely on board for the next Yakuza game, because I enjoyed Like a Dragon so much. And I still need to go back and play the old ones, too. So anyway, we'll see where that goes. Meanwhile, Loki.
So, we just talked about cease and desist from Nintendo, so I'm just going to say one name and you'll already know what's going to happen. Rockstar Games. So, and actually Take-Two Interactive. So, we've mentioned so many times that Take-Two has gone after modders for different things, and so now here's yet another Grand Theft Auto Underground that was taking the maps from 3 and Vice City and kind of bringing them together. And so because of that, you know, they cease and desisted it again, because they're probably going to re-release these games, or I'm sorry, they're going to they're going to port them over to PlayStation 5 or something like that, and it's going to be just like the mobile ports.
Well,
but
didn't we already know, like, Grand Theft Auto 3, Vice City, and all that was getting some type of?
I think it's rumored. I don't know if it's like we know that's coming back yet, but like it's, I don't know, but it's annoying though that. You know, the modding scene with Grand Theft Auto is what kind of keeps Grand Theft Auto alive, honestly, because I think a lot of, like, the roleplay stuff and all that that people play, like, in 5 and online is through the modding scene. And mm-hmm. I know a lot of the attention the game gets is through the modding scene as well. Like, they wouldn't... I don't know. It's really dumb. I don't know what happened with Take-Two Interactive. And, okay, well, Take-Two Interactive has always sucked, but, like, I don't know what's happened with Rockstar Games. They're not the company they used to be, unfortunately.
Fifth Dream in chat says, I'd play Grand Theft Auto 5 if they added all the other games into it. LOL. A big Grand Theft Auto super game.
Yeah, that was the thought before, was like online was supposed to kind of expand to like, oh, you can go Liberty City now, or you can go to Vice City or something like that. I think they're making so much money off of the garbage that they're doing right now with it that they just feel that they don't need to make those kinds of updates, because that's a lot of updates, and for what kind of return are they going to get? Not probably much more than what they have now. So we'll wait and see, I guess. It'll be another 10 years of Grand Theft Auto 5. At least we'd make the joke about Elder Scrolls Skyrim and being re-released all the time. But at least we know there's a new game coming. I mean, that's been confirmed at least. So, you know, they have kind of lead there, at least on the Bethesda side. But like Rockstar, like, we don't know anything.
Yeah, it's been a while since we had a really big update from Rockstar, you know?
Exactly. I used to be a big champion of the Grand Theft Auto series, and now it's like, I just can't play online anymore. Like, I don't have any interest whatsoever. It's such a grind fest, and they have, like, such irritating things inside there. Like, I mean, you have to pay to, you know, you have to pay rent in your apartment. You have to pay to keep your cars in the garage, and you have to pay to have your maintenance guy, you know, fix your cars and do all that. It's like, it's such a grind just to make it a grind so that you have to buy the shark cards is what it is. And that's just, I'm not interested in that. No thanks.
All right. Let's get to one last story tonight, and that's catching up a little bit with what's going on with Epic Games. On one front, we have the House Party app, which I had never heard of until this, but I guess some people were getting into House Party during the pandemic. I guess it was some type of video chat calling thing, although I've heard Zoom, I've heard FaceTime, I've heard Skype. I never had heard of House Party, but I guess it was one of the others involved with this. And then Epic actually bought House Party, and now they're going to be shutting it down at some point in October. In fact, it's already gone from stores. I had no idea that House Party was integrated into Fortnite, but apparently that was a thing, and that will be going away as well. What's also interesting is that Epic is kind of saying, as part of the reason why it's going away, they are crafting meaningful and authentic new socialization features that will be useful at a metaverse level across Epic game titles. That makes me wonder if they're building something for the Epic Game Store, and if this isn't something that they want to build into that, because you know Epic wants to launch their game store on mobile devices.
And they just like first put all the features in the store.
I feel like their store sucks
like
compared to Steam. I'm sorry.
Shopping cart,
yeah,
or like a wish list.
There's so much
like
other stuff
better
they need
ways
to work
to
on.
Browse it.
There really
like,
is.
Maybe we shouldn't try to reinvent the chatting in the games and like just finish your stupid. Like they had a roadmap for their store.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on, that is so stupid.
But it has been noted that, you know, Fortnite has gone through this interesting shift where now a lot of the recent reporting hasn't been about Battle Royale and that game, but about things like the Ariana Grande concert and, you know, Party Royale and things like that. So it's interesting to see what might be coming through on that space. Something that I referenced there that obviously we'd have to mention on the show at some point, there was an update this week on the Epic versus Apple thing. And there's all sorts of reports out there. Some are saying Apple lost. Some are saying, well, Epic kind of lost it too. Here's the reality of that whole thing and why I'm not making a bigger deal out of it. It's not over. Epic's already filed an appeal, which when you consider a lot of the headlines have been Apple lost, Epic is appealing the decision because there were some things in there that were very unfavorable to Epic. Here's the reality. This has got a long way to go. It's going to go through appeals court. It's going to go through a state appeals court. And it's going to end up at the Supreme Court. Guarantee it. I'll bet money this ends up at the Supreme Court. Now, whether they hear it or not is another. I won't place money on that. But this will get petitioned to the Supreme Court. I guarantee. So, I mean, we're all drawing conclusions about what is going to happen, what isn't going to happen. It's not going to stick. So why are we wasting time? This is one hurdle in what's going to end up being a much longer legal process. So get your popcorn. Anyway, that's my thought on that. We're going to open up the Discord. VogNetwork.com/Discord. If you would like to give us a call in the green room. While I peek at Discord and see if anything's there, I know we also do emails around this time. Let's get to... Okay, wait a minute, because I think we have one email tonight. But I believe this individual is also sitting in the green room. So you know what? This is what we're going to do.
Let him read his own email?
Yep. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, it's the one and only Ron. How's everybody doing tonight?
Doing well. How are you?
I can't complain. I for some reason, my camera is not working, but, you know, it is what it is.
That's okay. I'm trying to find the right shot here that has... there we go. There's the one that has me and Discord there. Now, here's the thing. This is why I brought you into the room, Rama. You actually emailed the show tonight.
Say what now?
You emailed the show tonight, right?
Yeah. The funny thing is... I've been meaning to send that email earlier this week, but I have been working on my Google certification for the last couple of weeks, so my brain has kind of sort of been mush, you know?
Here's what some folks are saying this is an Orange Lounge Radio first. I would like to give Dark Sakura a break tonight, and I would like to invite you to read your email on the show tonight, Rama. Do you have the email in your sent folder?
I have it, but the thing, at least she won't get mad at me for how bad my email is. It's right. The way that I talk, and she's not the first person to tell me you need to type your emails better. And
you'll get a pass.
Like,
you get
okay. No. Here's my problem.
Here we go.
Ellipsis. You use ellipsis when it doesn't need to be an ellipsis. A period will suffice.
I blame that on the New York State educational school system.
I blame it on typing the way I think. I do it too, and it's because I'm literally typing my thoughts.
But the point of an ellipsis is when you are actually fading out on something and leaving something unsaid.
Maybe Bear. I am. Dot, dot, dot. Anyway.
Like what I just told you a moment ago, but, and I left it that way.
All right. So Rama, do you have the email? If you don't have the email, I'll ask Star Soccer to read it, but I thought it would be funny.
I have it, but I can just give a complete summary on it.
All right. Works for me.
All right. So from the last time we spoke, I contacted Amazon and told them that I got sent the wrong controller. So they apologize, sent me another one, got the package, opened it up. It was another Xbox Series controller. Put it back in the box, went to Amazon, looked around, couldn't find. I saw the same ad pop back up. I said, screw it. Decided to go to GameStop. Just take a shot in the dark. They had one, and it was cheaper. So I went, and I bought that, got the controller, opened it up, and it was a modded first-party Xbox One controller. I mean, they changed the buttons on it. It didn't have the right battery case on the back. And you can look at the label because someone basically popped that open just to open up the controller to change the buttons.
How funny.
And the thing is, I wasn't really mad. I just found it amusing because I got it from GameStop, but I'm not surprised this happened.
Can you imagine buying a modded system at GameStop? I'm sure it's happened. Where somebody bought like a system that was modded. But anyway.
Well, there was a time when there were banned consoles they were selling and didn't realize it.
By the way, some folks in chat are having a little bit of a discussion about is there even actually an Xbox Series controller at this point? And here's the thing. Yes, there is Xbox controller, and I don't think they differentiate between the different ones. But I think we are saying it to differentiate because we know there are different versions of the Xbox controller. For example, the latest controller circa 2020 or whatever you want to call it has the share button. Hey, you're on cam now. Hey, Rama. The one before it, the Xbox One era controller, does not. So there are subtle differences. Anyway, I just wanted to clarify that. Sometimes it's not necessarily about the official name, but how we differentiate between them, which does play into Rama's situation, is that you specifically wanted an Xbox One controller. And despite the fact we're all sitting here going, why? It doesn't matter. It's what you want. It's your money.
Get into the reason behind that.
Okay.
So I went back on, I sent the controller back, I went to Amazon, I looked again, found the controller, same ad link that I bought it from before, but I looked again, it was a different reseller this time. So I went through them, 2 days later, I have a perfectly working Xbox One controller now.
You've got it.
Yep.
I thought now, you'd have to hit up garage sales, to be honest, but you got it.
If I was to hit up garage sales, I would probably be dressed in a hazmat suit walking around to make sure, because I don't trust some of these people around here.
You'd find much more than a modded controller. You'd open up the back and be like, who put rocks in here?
I could tell you, I've had some people hit up garages and find some amazing things, you know. So I'm just like, alrighty then.
All right. So how is it, though, to hear now that you got your Xbox One controller, there's a whole new firmware for it? Because I did, when I read that story, I instantly thought of you, and I was like, wow, if this doesn't scream justified to Rama's situation.
So here's the thing. I know there are new controllers that are out, but let's say for the sake of it, I happen to sell my Xbox back to GameStop or Amazon or whatever, I have to have the original controller that it came with. Or else Amazon will send it all back saying we can't resell it, or GameStop will take off $40 because they have to put it in one of their controllers to resell the unit.
One of their unknowingly modded controllers, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. When you say it, when you put it that way, I kind of have an aha moment. Okay.
But the thing is, when I get my Series X, I'm giving my Xbox to a couple of friends of mine. They're not gaming savvy, so I want to make sure that they have the right controllers and the right everything, so they'll be good to go, you know.
So another long story short, you're doing this because you're a good friend.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
That is not the reason why I even called in.
All right, why did you call in? What's up?
I'm not sure if any of y'all covered this or anything like that, because I know from time to time y'all will take like a night off for various reasons. And for our show, we've been taking a couple of weeks off here and there because we're just exhausted, like mental health issues. Mm-hmm. And it's something that we talk about on our show. If we miss a week or if a certain host hasn't been around, we're basically open about this because we all have issues one way or another. So I'm wondering, have you, Loki or James, have you just been like, you know what? I just don't have the mental energy to do a show. I'm just going to go to bed or do something else, you know?
I'll start. I think for me, like having that night off last week and doing the Dragon Con, even though I know it was weird this year and, you know, was a risk in some regard, that was so important for my mental health. Like just being able to have that break and do that thing was so necessary for me that I feel like that was a way to recharge my batteries quite a bit. I'll let my co-host take the question if they want to add anything further to it.
I mean, I'm always like that, so it's fine.
Well, fair. Loki, I know this show has oftentimes for you been a chance to kind of escape your normal Monday through Friday type of life and like gives you something kind of different to do. So
like I'm not really escaping anything because, you know, usually the kids are behind me or like, you know, not really leaving the house. So it's not so much an escape anymore, especially since I work right here in this very desk and computer and spot and all that stuff. So it's not really so much an escape anymore.
Plus, it's important to note, too, that none of us are required to be here. None of us are paid to be here. So if anybody wanted to take a night off for any reason, they're entitled to it. That's what it is. It's a little
hard. I've had to for my medical conditions.
Mm-hmm. It's a little harder when it's me because, yes, all the production stuff is still being run out of my house, even in the COVID era and so forth. But hypothetically, it could be done without me. We just haven't really had to cross that bridge yet. So, you know, but Dark Sakura's up on and Loki, they both know how to stream, so it wouldn't be that hard. I don't know. I think in some ways this is kind of like a regular thing to kind of gravitate back to too. It's in a way it's a bit of an anchor. So it's kind of like, you know, that thing that, well, there's still always OLR on Sunday night.
I sometimes don't know what I would do without having this on Sunday.
Yeah. Any thoughts on that, Rama?
I totally get that. It's for me as a Twitch viewer, there are certain people I watch on certain days, and it's like if they're not doing a show on that day, it's like, well, what do I do with my time? And it's like, and I get a tap on the shoulder, and it's like the spirit of my 500 video games, like, pick one or something like that. Mm-hmm. But as a content creator, I have like this rule of two. If it's only two people to do the show with, I just cancel for the week because I'm like, you know, Ichigo is not feeling up to it. Things have been happening. She can't get into doing the show. Yeah. Or Ako-chan's the same. I'm like, you know what? We'll just do no show. We'll just enjoy the Tuesday off. We'll come back next week refreshed and we'll explain, you know, we needed some time off. and this is what we do, and so on and so forth. You know, we try to be as transparent as possible.
Yeah. I appreciate a lot of the things you guys are saying in chat, too. Like, Pod Culture in chat says, OLR has been my rock during some rough times. Fifth Dream says, I don't leave the house now, so Bobby Blackwolf and OLR are kind of the marker that it's a new week. I deeply appreciate those comments, and I'm so thankful. That being said, I also need to prepare folks for the reality. The show isn't going to last forever. There is going to be a day.
What?
There is going to be a day when we say, you know, thanks for playing, but roll credits, you know, type of thing, for whatever the reason is. So I just, the only reason I put that out there is I say, thank you for that. But also, it sometimes can be a little bit of pressure. And I just, you know, there's a reason why we also say, you know, please support independent podcasting. I hope one day when this show does inevitably end, you all will still continue to support other indie broadcasters and indie podcasters and so forth, and show the love that you've shown to us to somebody else who also deserves it. So they, okay, Pod Culture says, we know. I know, but I still feel some sort of weird obligation to kind of say, like, please understand, you know, I'm happy that we have been able to be there for you, but we may not be able to be next time. So,
you know, I totally get that. In regards to, you know, how everybody sets their schedule to OLR on Sundays, something that I've been talking about in therapy, about trying to have like some type of schedule, a routine and stuff like that. And I use Outlook to kind of put my week together, even though I know what I'm doing every day. I actually have like OLR listed in Outlook. So when I Wow. open up my calendar, it kind of helps me, because, you know, still job hunting and so forth, you know, at least when I get up, it's like I have something to do and I'm okay with it. And it kind of puts my mind at ease. And as much as I love being a content creator, streaming and all that, I've actually said to my group, that day when I wake up and look around my room and say, this is not fun anymore, I'm done, I don't want to do this anymore, we will just wrap it up and just go out on a high note.
And I think that's yeah. what we have to aspire to do too, you know, when it inevitably is done. So
yeah. Well, hey, I still have to wait to hear back from Guinness.
Yeah,
so
I was
going to
say, but in the
yet.
Meantime, we have 20 years looming. it would be a shame to miss that, but if I think we'll get there. But if we miss
we'll
it, we'll
quit
miss
one
it.
Episode before 20 years. There you go.
So I'm curious which gaming podcasts are chomping at the bit, waiting for us to go off the air so they can take the crown of longest running game. Because I actually don't know who it is. I don't know who comes after us. There's like a list of five that I think are up there, but I don't know who it is.
You know, longest doesn't really seem to, I mean, I'll take longest, but like longest running show that no one knows who we
yeah,
are.
Exactly.
So
I've actually used to say on my show from time to time, the number one anime podcast in the tri-state area. And it's like, well, at least it's something. We go to convention.
We can't even say that anymore, because another podcast said they're the number one in Sacramento. So we can't take that.
Oh, no. We are the one. The one.
I don't want to pick a fight, so I just kind of smile and nod and say that's cute. So
no, pick a
pat on the head.
Yeah.
No, pick a fight and you play Mario Party online, you know, team play, you know?
But why do we have to fight for what we know is true?
Yeah, I think you actually put it best before when this topic came up years ago, which I actually think they dropped that along. I don't know if our shady shade came back around or what. I actually think they dropped that a long time ago. So to be fair,
it's pretty bold to like call yourself the number one. like no, is anyone calling you that? Like, was there a poll? I mean, like it's weird to call yourself that.
But
it's like it's almost like nominating like stuff for like the
hey,
video
this
game
is
Hall
the number
fame,
one podcast so. In my house.
I gotta watch. I don't want to go down a shady slope. I want everybody to prosper. But I would say you know no, I forgot what I was gonna say. Damn it! All right, whatever. I've been having train derailments all night.
So you do listen to our show on a regular basis.
I remembered. Quick, the train got back on rails. I liked the angle that I think it was Dark Soccer somebody took when this issue first came up years ago. Was that, well, why aim for just our city when we can be number one in the world? And I think that's where that
I
whole,
think I did say that.
That's where that whole number one podcast in the galaxy and that whole joke came up. Yeah, I think it came out of that. So
I'm so clever.
Well, it's just like, was it that one town that was able to say that they're like the central hub of video games or something like that? It's like, was it like in Nebraska or something like that where the Video Game Hall of Fame is or something like that? Mm-hmm. Where like, it's like the self-proclaimed, you know, capital of video games. Like, what?
SSJ 100 Matt in chat says, may not have a ton of listeners, but we're all better than most of the people out there you don't want as fans. Honestly, I'm starting to discover that is more and more true as the years go on. You will notice, knock on wood, I don't want to curse things. You'll notice no hoes have showed up to this channel. Now, I think the reality is, I'm going to just say it's because we're not using the LGBTQ or black tags, which is why the hoes have not shown up, or other marginalized communities. But you know, that's the type of attention we don't want. So anyway, we distanced ourselves a little bit from your original question, Rama. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
You need to jump on your iPhone and download Bang Dream Girls Band Party and play it and have fun with it.
I want to see this Switch game. I looked at the screenshots. I'm like, this looks like DDR, but like Amplitude.
To me, it's more like, I would say more like Beatmania meets Guitar Hero, the way it comes down. Because there's a free game, this is a Love Live game for PlayStation 4. It plays kind of similar, but it's like buttons around the screen and you just got to tap it out. It's a fun time waster, so.
Yeah. I will check it out. I didn't know it was something on the phone, so that's a very easy way to check it out.
Yeah, that's where it started, and I mean, there's tons of like rhythm games on the mobile device, especially anime based ones. I'll say this, if you play the Love Live one, don't get too deep into it because it's a mix of a rhythm game, dating sim, and then you have all these like mini games and stuff. I have known people who get very competitive in it, and it's like, yeah, take my phone away, please.
All right. So Rama, I'm going to let you go because I see somebody else in the green room. I want to get on the show, but thank you as always for your call. Everybody check out Anime Jam Session on Tuesday nights. And any other thoughts you have for us, Rama?
No, I think I am good.
Okay. Take care, buddy. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. And congrats on your controller find.
Be well.
All right. Bye. All right, let's go right into another call before the video looks all messed up for a little while. So let's bring in our next person. And hi there, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
This is YYR.
Hey, how YYR. You doing? Welcome to the Discord call-in thing we're trying. How's it going?
Sweet. It's going okay. And I can unabashedly say that I have the number one game about shitting all over people.
I have the number two game about that.
You have the number one, number two game. And then Loki has the number two, number one, number two game.
My head is already spinning, but yes.
That part. What's on your mind?
Well, actually, unfortunately, I missed the earlier parts of the show, but I did want to bring to some people's attention the wonderful audience of this show. That there are some updates to Pixel Poops and Pixel Poops number 2 this week. Were some of those already mentioned?
Loki talked about the updates to number 2, but he didn't talk about the updates to the main game, if you wanted to get into that.
Oh, okay. Well, actually, the updates to the main game are very small, really. But actually, all the updates are now live on Steam. So if you did purchase number 2 on Steam, the next time you open up the Steam client, you will notice, if you have things set to automatically update, that you already have the new version of number 2. So get on that. But yes, I decided I would go ahead and add something to the base game that actually you requested, Rob.
Oh, shit. And literally this. Yeah. Okay. Which one is it, though? Because I think I've requested multiple things.
Well, usually I'm pretty quick on the draw with, like, an episode number and an audio clip. But unfortunately, I don't have those this time. I will mention, though, that probably a couple of months ago, you mentioned, and this probably followed a discussion about Mortal Kombat and the blood code and things like that. And you probably said, well, you know, I think it'd be pretty funny if Pixel Poops had something like a strawberry ice cream mode where...
Yes, I think I was talking about making your game family safe.
Yes, exactly.
So is it Pixel Scoops now?
Okay, this is funny because you probably haven't caught up to the episode yet, but just 2 weeks ago, or the show before we took a break, the little parody bump to the intro of the show was Pumpkin Spice Pixel Poops.
Oh my God, I should have. I feel so bad that I didn't.
When you said you were putting that in, I thought that's what I got was my Pumpkin Spice Pixel Poops. But this
I'm totally updating it again. I'm totally going to like do that tomorrow. I don't know. But yes.
My impact, my power.
You have power, Rob. So yes, there is now a strawberry ice cream mode in Pixel Poops, along with a second bonus mode that my wife suggested, and it's terrible and horrible and should not have gone in there, but it only took 2 minutes to do after doing the first one, and someone will find it funny. So that went in there also. And they're accessible via secret codes.
Oh.
Remember those?
Yes, of course. Are they codes we're going to be able to figure out, or do we get a hint, or what?
Oh, no, I'll just straight up give it to you.
Okay, cool. Insider info for OLR listeners.
Yeah, I put on the patch notes that if you want the codes now, you should listen to the Orange Lounge Radio podcast. Aww, but I will publish them publicly in the future.
I guess. All right, cool.
So these are type-in codes, so you'll need a keyboard to do it. And the reason I say that is because, you know, some people, they'll game on their TV, they'll only have a controller in their hand. So yes, you will need a keyboard to enter these codes. But you enter them on the Game Over screen, mm-hmm. which, you know, it's the first screen that comes up when you start the game, when you start the app, really. And also, it obviously comes up when the game is over. But, you know, don't have any menu open, just be on the Game Over screen. It can be cycling colors or whatever. To enable strawberry ice cream mode, type in ABACABB.
Isn't that like the blood code, just like in a different order?
No, it's the same.
Oh, it's the same.
It is exactly the same as the Sega Genesis Mortal Kombat blood code, yes.
Great. So the family-friendly strawberry ice cream mode is the blood code. Perfect.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And for the other terrible thing that my wife suggested, just press the period key 6 times.
Okay.
It is exactly what you think it is.
Okay.
And both of them, all they do is change the color of the poop. And they take effect until the game is quit and then restarted, and then it goes back to normal.
Okay, I love that. Any insight what the pumpkin spice code might be?
Well, right now I just have it set to use the A, B, and C and the period keys. So, and it's ignoring everything else. And so I might just make a variation of the A, B, A, C, A, B, B code.
Just
but,
have it be ABBA, my favorite band. I don't know. Just...
So that's Invincibility and Ikari Warriors.
It is Invincibility and Ikari Warriors.
Is it really?
Yes.
Yep.
Well, that just makes it even funnier.
And that's... I hear from the other room, ABBA. So even Dan.
No, it's ABBA. It's not ABBA. It's ABBA.
It's ABBA. It's ABBA. You get to be a dancing queen on your way to shooting people angrily.
I love it.
Just to make sure it's not too easily guessable, I might just have you have to type it in twice.
ABBA, ABBA. Okay, the more the better.
Exactly. So, yeah, please look forward to that.
I will.
Pumpkin spice. That's hilarious.
I'll have to send you the image because I changed the little Taco Cabana into a Starbucks. It's really horrible for Square Dollars coffee store. I did a horrible paint job with the color over. So I was like, when I saw it on the video preview, I was like, God damn, that turned out ugly.
That makes it funnier.
Yeah, it does. I realize.
I agree.
Part of the charm of the opening segments of the show is how did Rob destroy Photoshop this week? Which, plot twist, I don't use Photoshop. I use Snagit. Okay.
I expected you to say Microsoft Paint, but
I'll try. But Snagit's kind of that. Also, I use Snagit a lot at work because it's actually a very powerful software for those types of screenshots. Yeah.
But, and I'm on a Mac. I don't have that problem.
All right. YYR, I totally appreciate the update. And I'm flattered, as always, that, you know, again, you not only come to us with all the latest and greatest with your games, but that you fucking humor us in the first place. We don't deserve it. We truly don't.
You know what, though? I continue to insist that if I ever do get discovered and, you know, things actually start to, you know, I actually make enough money to pay for my daughter's college out of this, I will still come to OLR with all the news and updates and
appreciate that and appreciate you, my friend.
Got to know your roots.
All right.
As long as you're still around.
Yeah. After that last conversation, I probably scared everybody, huh?
I don't know. I think we should do something for 888 because it's triple infinity.
I know it's weird. All these episode numbers I never thought we'd get to are coming up. Before we know it, 1,000. I think I already figured out episode 1,000 was going to be
at Disneyland.
No. Like the actual date was something like 2023. I think it was around 20 November. I think if we actually plotted the right days off, it would actually be 20 November of 2023. But anyway.
I get it.
All right. YYR, my friend, you take care. We're going to go wrap up the show. And congrats on Pixel Poops. I hope everybody will buy it to play Pumpkin Spice, Strawberry Ice Cream, and other modes in the game.
Ah, well, I'll just remind you that you don't even need to because the game is free to play.
Ah, that's right. That's right. But you should still buy the extra stuff anyway. Support the game.
Do it.
All right.
Awesome. Well, enjoy. And yeah, have a great week.
Take care, my friend.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Rob. I did a thing.
It wasn't free for me because I paid for the Commodore 64 version as well as Pixel Poops number 2. That I would happily give YYR $5 if he asked for it anytime. Maybe not every day because I'd be broke, but, you know, I'll buy him.
So I did a thing. By the way,
what'd you do?
I had my first pumpkin product.
Oh,
I did not have a pumpkin spice. I had a pumpkin product.
Good enough.
I had a pumpkin cream cheese muffin.
Oh, yummy.
And it was delightful. One of the ones from the place with the mermaid.
Yes.
And I only ate the top of it and gave the rest of it to Dan.
That's like a muffin top.
And I was looking at the drinks and I was like, pink drink.
That apple flavor is really good. I know I'm...
So I want to have it in a chai. I don't like caramel.
That's fair. Yeah.
So I want to have it... I hear it's actually another probably mutual friend of ours out of other people's streams. I never know exactly how to pronounce the name, like Gaga Sturs.
Not a name I recognize.
Yeah, I never know how to pronounce it, but I always remember seeing it. But that was a suggestion that they made. So I was like, I have to try that. I like chai and I like apple and the flavors would be complimentary.
Yeah, the apple stuff comes from like a brown sugar type of base. So it's very easy to dodge the caramel and get just like that brown sugar apple stuff they use. It's really good. So yeah.
I did buy apple cider.
Good call.
Like a gallon of apple cider. And I'm actually wondering if I can make chai with it.
Since our green room is now, oh, by the way, if you want to send an email, cause I didn't shout out the email address, we had Rama read his own email tonight, but participate@orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send an email for a future week. Participate@orangeloungeradio.com. And we won't make you read your own email unless you want to join Discord and do it that way. I mean, why not? All right. We'll do it that way.
Hey, Rob.
What?
One last thing, since this is video for us right now.
Okay.
Do you see what's behind me?
I'm trying to make it out. Oh, wait, my cursor's right on top of it. Because you're up on the TV. I know it's been a while since you've been here, but you're up on the TV.
I put my Huntress mask on a wig.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, I see it now. Yeah, once you said that, I'm kind of, I see it.
I am now prepared for at least a stream version of Huntress cosplay, and I'm close to being stream version Julie Legion cosplay. All right. And I have a pig mask.
All right.
Because I am a pig main for life.
I wanted to check in with last minute stories. Loki, do we have any last minute stories tonight? Or Jamie, if you have any.
No.
Oh, I didn't mean to have Stella put away.
That's fine. She wants Lammy like at all hours of the day, so
she loves you. You're her daddy.
She loves you.
Yeah, but like she knows when I'm on calls.
Meanwhile, I had Mr. Smush dramatically laying on the floor in the kitchen like he was dying because his feeder's time has been pushed back a half hour because one of his dads, me, accidentally unplugged the long-ass cord for the feeder when I was shoving my suitcase into the closet. So,
no.
Anyway.
So Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl had a box art kind of leak, I guess, on the eShop. And so we kind of get a look of what, you know, Aang, Korra, Ren, and Stimpy look like now because they've got, you know, the character art on there. So that's the thing. No new, like, actual, like, leaks as far as, like, new characters or anything from that. But, yeah, it's neat to see, like, at least what some of the characters look like. So they have that. Also, should mention that Steam's 18 years old now.
What?
So today's, I think, the anniversary of that. So, yeah. That's a thing. And Hot Wheels Unleashed is going to have lots of DLC, including stuff ties in with Street Fighter, Superman, Wonder Woman, Masters of the Universe, and Barbie and Batman, as well as car companies. That game looks kind of cool. I'll have to check it out when that actually comes out. But yeah, that's it.
Dark Tetsuya in chat says about the Nickelodeon fighting game that they had videos of SpongeBob. His moves are on brand and ridiculous. I noticed the taunt.
They have wave dashing. Which
the
is
taunt
awesome.
Was that meme, you know, with the, that was really funny. I thought that was perfect.
That game looks fantastic. So one other story I did see was that the Animal Crossing Series 1 through 4 Amiibo cards are being reprinted. And I do want to say that I tend to hang out at Target on Fridays when my son goes to his coding class. And they do have those cards in stock, as well as the Hello Kitty and Sanrio cards are in stock now.
Oh, good.
So you can go pick those up if you want those cards.
I haven't seen them near me, so if you would pick me up a Sanrio pack, I would gladly pay you back.
Yeah, they have multiple Sanrio packs. Do you need all of them or just one?
I guess I would need all of them. I mean, okay. Yeah, what do you mean by multiple? They're each one card?
Well, it's packs of cards, but they're different, like, sets. I have to look at it again, but, like, I did see those before, and I was like, why would people buy these? Because it's just for the posters, right? So, I don't know. But, yeah, I'll pick them up. I can.
Thank you.
So that's it.
All right. Did you have anything else you wanted to talk about, Loki? Or last minute stories?
Nope.
All right. Then I guess we'll go to wrapping up the show for the night. Let me go around and get everybody's final thoughts. But before we do that, let me say thank you guys, as always, for listening to Orange Lounge Radio and supporting our show. We are the show where every gamer has a voice. So if you wouldn't mind helping us spread the word, tell a friend or two about the show. And that goes an awful long way. An auto host here on Twitch for VOG Network also goes a long way in supporting the show. And you certainly don't have to, but we do have a shop available over at vognetwork.com/shop if you want to buy some merchandise. Some of the stuff I wore at Dragon Con. I wore the Orange Lounge Radio shirt to my Friday panels and the VOG Network shirt to my Sunday panels. So you can check those out over at vognetwork.com/shop. So anyway, let's go around and get everybody's kind of like final thoughts and wrap ups here. So we'll start with Dark Sakura.
I will be doing, I'm going to try to do it this month. I'm going to do a subathon or a follow-a-thon or a bit-a-thon, whatever it is, because I want to do something to give back for any help that I have received. So keep your eyes open. And I also have been making merch specifically for Dead by Daylight fans. So let me know. There will be other things then coming to the VOG store for other games that we have been discussing that aren't Dead by Daylight.
Great.
Right. I may even be doing a variation of my last release for mine specifically for VOG.
Okay, fun.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. Let's see. So I think you're probably going to head off because you're going to start your stream.
I am.
Right.
I got to switch from cam mode to OBS cam. So right.
We'll see you
later.
Next week. Meanwhile, while we say goodbye to Dark Sakura, Loki, what's your final thought for tonight?
My final thought is I did put up a new episode of my Minecraft series last week, and then I have a new one coming soon. Like I said, I did a ton of stuff this week. So I filmed everything and I didn't like it, so I'm going to film it again. It's just the way it works.
Being too much of a perfectionist, but I get it.
It's not. My last few videos have been kind of rambly and long, and I've been trying to tighten that up a bit. It's more of just because I just want to get it out, you know, and so I just kind of do this like mental dump type thing, and I don't know if that necessarily generates more views or not, but it is what it is. So the last episode was pretty cool because we decorated the shopping district, and so now it looks all pretty and everything.
Oh, nice.
And then so that's a pretty cool one to watch. But yeah, there should be some new stuff coming. I do want to start streaming because right now my channel is not growing at all. I mean, I know you're supposed to let the algorithm do its thing, but like that takes like a couple of years
to do
its thing.
Yeah.
So it's like,
I hear you.
So we'll see. Maybe streaming will be better. I don't know. Or not.
Well, speaking of streaming, I will use my final thought to give my own channel at Rob Roberts here on Twitch a personal plug. I'm going to be streaming No Man's Sky again tomorrow night. I'm trying to get a little further in Expedition 3. Who knows? Maybe finishing it. Probably not tomorrow, but at least one more night of Twitch drops. And then probably later in the week, if I have the time, I'm going to try to do a stream of the new WarioWare game. I'll start that from the beginning and play a little bit of that. So that's my plan for the week. And then a shout out for my husband at Alan Alchemy as well, because... excuse me. He's been doing a lot of streaming and just finished his Resident Evil 2 play with Leon last night. And he was using a mod so that Leon was running around in nothing but tidy grays, not whiteies, but tidy grays, basically. It's, of course, a big pervy mod, but it was really funny. So he played the whole Leon campaign with that, and it made for some very funny and awkward cutscenes. So now he's doing Claire. He doesn't have a similar mod for Claire. Well, he has a Tifa mod for Claire. So Claire is dressed like Tifa from Final Fantasy VII. It's still Claire, but wearing like that, you know, white top and so it's kind of funny. So check that out on his channel. All right. That's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you guys so much for listening to and supporting the show. Thank you for coming back this week after we were off last week. We will see you in 7 days. We will be back next week, and we'll do this all over again with next week's news. Have a wonderful week, everybody. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vog Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.